Welcome to the Lost Lowdown, podcast 151, with your hosts, Claude and Justin.
What's up, guys?
We're back, continuing our season 3 commentary series with episode 321. Wait for it, don't wait for it, it's the greatest hits.
The greatest hits.
The greatest hits of everything.
They're all hits, and they're definitely the greatest.
The greatest, yeah, that's a two-step process, right? First, they have to be hits.
Yes.
Then it's the greatest.
That's step one. Oh, man. Yeah. So, yeah, this episode should be awesome because this is a great show. And the greatest hits have got to be amazing, right?
Yeah, well, the greatest hits have to be the best because they're hits. And then you get the greatest ones.
Exactly.
So going into it, we know it has to be a trolley episode, right? Because he's the greatest of all the hits.
All the best episodes so far are trolley episodes.
Yeah, you're right. That's really true. I never noticed that before, but that's it.
Yeah,
that's the pattern.
It's strange I haven't put it together until just now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad we finally made that discovery. It's really opened my eyes.
So this is coming, what was the last Charlie episode?
Oh, good question. Have they even had one this season?
I don't think they've had one this season.
So the last one must be from season 2. Are we talking Fire Plus Water? I hope that's the last one.
Oh, it is. Wow. They've been a long time. Yeah, they've been a long time without a Charlie episode.
It's like episode 12, I think, season 2. I mean, that's like more than a season ago.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, they didn't know what to do for him, I think. they had no more flashback for him, and they were just like...
His flashback is pretty... his backstory is pretty short. It's pretty shallow. It's not as...
Compared to a lot of people.
Yeah, there's not too much going on. Failed rock star, drug addiction, the end?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, he has this thing with his brother. You know, they're both in the band together. And, you know, it was weird how it went. Like, he was the clean one.
Yep.
And then, like...
And his brother was the drug addict.
Yeah.
And then
he got pulled into it. And then his brother became the clean one.
Yeah, then his brother was like, oh, you're still doing drugs? I quit.
Yeah,
And then he just kind of threw him away, and he was just like, because Charlie became a drug addict, and he wanted to get the band back together, and then Liam was like, oh, no, I have a family now.
Yeah,
and,
I'm so done with that. We were one wonder, get over it.
Exactly. Grow up already. in the abstract, it's an interesting reversal, and it's an interesting idea to kind of have, you know, it's sort of Liam's fault that Charlie became who Charlie became. And, you know, that idea of, like, leaving him there to just waste away as a failed rock star and a drug addict. And he's like, yeah, sorry, bro. That's an interesting thing. I think the way it plays out, it's just kind of okay.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I feel like it has some of the same elements that some of the other backstories have. This, like... You know, this family conflict, these dysfunctions that are in the family that lead to various, like, you know, conflicts and drama and stuff like that. And you know, his big downfall, like, it's not completely different from where, like, you know, Christian or Jack end up, you know, I mean, there's like, they have some things in common. They went to that well. And it worked in that case. But yeah, somehow for Charlie, it does feel a lot more shallow. It feels very, I don't know, just lacking in interest.
Yeah.
There's just, I never really care that much about his issue. And I'm not really sure why.
Well, here's one reason maybe why. I think the stakes aren't that big. And I think, you know, one of the things that I think makes it feel a little bit shallow is, you know, I mean, they play up the whole thing when he gets to the island. Oh, he's going to have to go through withdrawal and the drugs, and Locke does the whole thing with him. But I just feel like most of the time up until this point, or even up till Fire Plus Water, Charlie was fine without the drugs. You know, right. And I think, like, if it was a constant thing, like, Jack's issues with his father don't right. go away after season two.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I feel like if it was a, I mean, it may have been more tedious, which is maybe why they didn't focus on it. But, like, if the drug addiction is his big, you know, weight on his back, you know, they have to show that over more time, I think, for it to be impactful. And they don't. They kind of just, like, toss it away at a certain point. And so when they come back to it, or, you know, it's just, it doesn't feel like it's that big of a deal.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe also it's that with Jack, you know, he like, gets into drugs and alcohol. But, like, his real problems are, you know, related to people. Whereas I feel like with Charlie, I mean, he does have a conflict with his brother, but it's not on the same level. Really, his problem is the drugs.
Yeah, and that's that's a thing he can get over as he does. And you make a good point, because I think what makes Jack's story really interesting is not only is his problem with people, his problem is with his dad, and there's unfinished business because his dad is dead.
Right.
And he can't get closure, whereas Charlie basically got a sense of closure with his, you know, personal relationship with his brother.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it's not the answer he wanted, but he got an answer when he's like, hey, let's get the band back together. Right. Whereas, you know, Jack, that's what makes Jack, you know, the beginning of his time on the island super interesting, because he's in the middle of dealing with not getting closure when we meet him.
Right.
You know, he's got to deal with his dad being dead after, you know, this big falling out. And never getting the answers that he wants. But, oh, wait, I think I see my dad on the island. Yeah. Maybe I can get those answers I've always wanted.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's a huge hook. And then, of course, they don't drop that the whole show.
Right. We're going to be with that until, literally the last scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's hard to beat that, I guess. And the other thing is, in a way, like, what happens with Charlie is similar. Not exactly, but it, like, he gets over his drug addiction out of necessity. You know, he just doesn't have drugs to use. And, you know, then he finds some, you know, and it's like, oh, is he going to use drugs again? But again, that conflict is just about the drugs. And I feel like drugs, they're, you know, they just sit there. They're not really.
there's no close-ups of the drugs being emoting, like, come on, Charlie, you know you want to do us.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I feel like the next level up from that is, like, babies or, you know, animals or something, where it's just like there's only so much drama that you can get out of a pile of drugs, you know?
You're right. I think it's pile of drugs, dog, and then baby is, like, the lower levels. Yeah, yeah.
Because they're just going to sit there, like,
Because, like, yeah, what's a baby going to do? A baby's going to cry or sleep.
Yeah. It's
the only two things a baby's going to do.
Yeah, now that's more than the drugs can do.
That's way more than the drugs. And then what's a dog going to... A dog's going to, like, show up or disappear.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to, like, you know, show up with something, try to lead you somewhere.
Wag
or
its tail, it's going to be gone. Yeah. Bring stuff,
But it can't really communicate. Yeah. Right. Like the baby can communicate, but only these basic things.
Right.
There's a total hierarchy of I don't know what the word is, but yeah.
Dramatic impact I'm not sure what the word is for that, but and so the tension is just not there, you know what I mean? Compared to Jack's dad showing up. Or him just, you know, looking for the coffin, or even just Sawyer telling him he met his dad, you know. All those things have a lot more weight, I think, than, like, oh, no, drugs. Like, and also, it's not even a big thing. Like, they make it a thing because, like, he does that thing with Sawyer where they have that scheme where he kidnaps Son and stuff, and... You know, he makes that whole deal so he can get the drugs, but he never really gets hooked again, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not even that deep for him that he's, like, pulled back into addiction, even with a huge, almost unlimited supply. of his favorite mm-hmm. drug. And so it's like, how much can I be invested in that problem
yeah.
if it doesn't seem like he's even that invested?
Which makes it
in
seem
it.
Like it wasn't that big of an addiction or something.
Yeah. Like it was just a matter of like going through the withdrawal and realizing like, well, I don't really need to do it anymore.
Or even something that they could have done, which would have made this all more interesting, is said the island had something to do with his recovery being so easy.
Oh yeah.
You know, you know,
said that.
You know, hey brother, my, you know, my withdrawal. I'm not gonna do a whole accent, but like, you know, like just saying that. Wow, you know, when I went a week without my drugs before that crash, I was dying.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's been a month and it's been, you know, I'm fine. Like, what happened? Like, you know, just even if they don't want to investigate it, just bring it up as something that's different about his experience, you know. And that would have been like, you know, we would have added that to the pile about the island healing properties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it healed his drug addiction.
Yeah. I mean, I think you could still even have like a sort of unfounded theory that's true. It's not unreasonable. Yeah. The island does seem to have a passive healing, you know, ability, and so it would make sense that maybe that is why his withdrawal was so easy. But they never say it, so
yeah,
you know, there's who knows if they even thought of that or cared, you know, to make that like an actual point in the story.
Well, I'm writing it down as a question for Carlton and Damon is did the island healing properties help Charlie's recovery?
It's a good one. I don't think I've heard that actually addressed by anyone. But there's logic there. I have to say for this experience of rewatching, and we just came off of the previous episode was The Man Behind the Curtain, or, you know, The Story of the Cabin and Other Problems, in which, and this is something that really stood out to me more this time than it did before, like, not only do we get the cabin, but we also get Ben's arrival to the island, we get Dharma mm-hmm. in the old days, and we get the Purge.
Yeah, that's a lot.
All within that episode. Which is like, that's a lot. And not only that, they're totally compartmentalized. I mean, sort of. I guess the cabin's slightly related to Dharma in a way, because Horus built it. But, you know, in a sense, those two things are totally separate. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They don't overlap very much.
Yeah.
And I didn't really realize that at the time, like how they're telling us this stuff that's all about mythology, but it's completely separate world. So it's just, it's really packed in, mm-hmm. you know? And when I think about other parts of the story, and the Anthony Cooper storyline wasn't quite as mythological, but there was a lot there.
Yeah.
When I think about this season, I think I love, Juliet's great, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I loved her backstory. And I think that whole thing was a success, but there's a couple things that I think are a bust this season. And the first thing is the pregnancy thing. I think that storyline doesn't work.
Yep.
It's just failing. And it's, you know, we've talked about it a lot. We've tried to make sense of it. I think it's possible to sort of make sense of it, but I don't think it's a good plot line.
Mm-hmm. Well,
know?
Yeah, and I think it's because the foundation. First of all, the part of the foundation is it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, it even if they solved it, even if Julie was like, "I got it, mm-hmm. I know why people, you know, I've got the magic formula. From henceforth, any woman on the island who conceives here can deliver to term." Who's pregnant on the island where it matters, you know?
Right.
And now I know in the last episode they bring up who's pregnant? Well, they said something about Kate, but they said Kate's She said something about Kate.
Yeah,
she
was confirming her, that she her wasn't. Test will be conducted, or she'll turn in the results on Kate next time, right, or something. They're actually, what they're doing there is setting up a plot line for season 4, which is like they're gonna tease us that Kate might be pregnant, and then that's how they're gonna trick us with the Oceanic 6 thing where she takes Aaron. Like,
that's right.
They make us think that that's her, that might be her baby, you know, with Sawyer or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they're pulling with that thing.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, it's a weird move they make. Like, let's tease that Kate might be pregnant, and then that'll sell the idea that this is her baby, you know, until we reveal at the end that it's actually Aaron.
Craziness.
And so, like, Kate's pregnancy, it actually isn't an issue at all. Kate's never pregnant on the show. It's never a thing.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying in general. Like, there's not a lot of repercussions if she finds the cure or not, you know?
Right.
And it's really just this kind of backstory thing that they're tied into. So it's not surprising that it's kind of failing.
Yeah. As a motivation for the others, it feels flimsy. It's weird. I mean, again, there's a logic there because obviously spinal cancer is a big deal, but the whole first part of the season, and seemingly according to expose, the whole plan of, you know, Michael coming back, then taking Jack, Kate, and Sawyer, that was all about Ben, you know, getting the surgery for his spinal tumor, which has nothing to do with the pregnancy.
And does it feel like Miss Clue knew that?
No.
Doesn't it feel like they were operating for some bigger reason than like Ben needs a doctor?
Absolutely. Yeah, it didn't feel that way at the time either. And even when you rewatch it, it feels like it's a bigger deal. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's a letdown in its own way, but at least it's over.
Yeah.
You know, like we're moving on from that. But this pregnancy thing is gonna carry through the end of the season, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like at this point, especially, because I think, like I said, the Juliet backstory and stuff, I think that was pretty good. But at this point, I don't care, you know? And as motivation for the others, it just feels very flimsy and like kind of just filler. You know, like until they can get on with an actual storyline.
Yeah.
You know, like here's what they're going to do for a while until they can actually get involved in the story in a way that is a bit more interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it's like busy work, you know, and even after this, they just kind of retreat to the temple for almost a whole season, you know. And then in season 5, they kind of don't appear because they're time traveling. So we don't even see the others until, you know, Locke comes back.
I think that's one of the biggest, that's really, you know, one of the biggest, I don't say failures, but subpar executions on the whole show is the others, right?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, because once you get to see who they are, and basically you get to see that it's that thing where the first time we see them, it's broken, you know, it's not sort of the usual thing. So when we really see behind the others, we realize, well, this is when Ben's in charge.
Right.
So the only thing they're really doing is doing what he wants them to do.
Yeah.
And so you can't glean any overall purpose that they serve and how that relates to the mysteries of the island, because they're just following these practical things that this one guy wants them to do. And then half the time throughout the show, they're not really on screen, you know?
Right.
So yeah, it's really strange how the others arc just goes downhill as each season goes. Like, they just get less interesting.
Yeah. And I just, now that I'm thinking about how the show goes, I'm realizing that actually once this pregnancy thing is over, they're kind of done as like agents in the story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They kind of, what they do,
because it becomes about Ben. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all they do is sit around and follow people for the rest of the show.
They sit and wait. Yep.
That's it. They're done after this, and it's like that's kind of pathetic.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, once they leave the barracks, it's over for the others, and they just become background players as they wait in the temple. Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is their last big thing, and this is all it is? I don't know. Like, it's very underwhelming. And when I saw those things, coming up as we went through these episodes, Juliet passing these messages and, Quan is confirmed pregnant on island, blah, blah, blah. it's just like, I don't really care at all. You know what I mean? And yet that's a major source of like drama and conflict at the end of the season. And I think that it just doesn't work.
Well, and you bring up another reason why it doesn't work, which is not only the stakes are low, but the urgency is very low, right? So even if Quan is pregnant and she's going to possibly give birth on the island and that might kill her, how long is it going to be until that happens?
A long time, yeah.
So why do I care in this moment if she's got 8 or 9 months before this is really going to be an issue, you know?
Yeah,
that's like 3 or 4 seasons of the show or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I feel like that's another problem with just pregnancy in general and storytelling. Like, just the time, and it applies to babies too. Like, just the time it all takes. It can be really hard to have a storyline with urgency, where you're not skipping huge periods of time where like anything actually develops,
mm-hmm.
Because in a reasonable period of time when stories happen, like, pregnancies aren't going to progress very much and babies aren't going to grow very much.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's like, it doesn't. And, we know for a fact that she will be off the island well before it's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of just like, meh.
Yep.
It's really hard to care about at this point. And so, because we just got out of an episode where they introduced like one of these big ideas that's like central to the plot lines going forward, and that obviously we talked about a lot and has occupied a lot of our attention on this podcast. It's just such a contrast going back to, confirmed Quan is pregnant. It's just like, I can't even. Okay, but that actually wasn't my main point. My main point is the other thing that I think is a bust this season is this Desmond sees the future, Charlie's gonna die plotline.
Oh no.
I don't think that works very well either.
I feel like rewatching this season, I feel like, my disdain for memory was the first 6 episodes and the being, Jack and Kate and Sawyer being in the cages. Mm-hmm. I feel like
and Strangeland.
Yeah, I feel like the cages have gone down in the list, and Desmond has gone to the top of the list. Like,
I don't think the cages are nearly as bad as that stuff.
Yeah.
The cages had drama. The cages, like, the cages produced some interesting scenes, in my opinion. All those episodes were not fantastic or whatever, but I found a lot more to like in that part of the storyline. This Desmond storyline, I mean, Flashes was kind of an interesting episode, but Catch 22 mm-hmm. drove me crazy.
Catch 22 was really awful.
I hated Desmond more than I ever have when I was watching that episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we're getting into Greatest Hits, where we're going to go back to the fucking storyline, and I'm like, oh, God. I don't even want to deal with it. And it's, part of it is, like you said, with the pregnancy, knowing that it doesn't matter, mm-hmm. really. And I don't know. It's frustrating to me how it's not really addressed at all after this season. Like, Desmond doesn't talk about it anymore. They don't ever feel the need to. It's sort of like it gets wrapped up into the other stuff that happens to him later. His mm-hmm. weird consciousness. Traveling, yeah. It's like, oh, it was just kind of like that, ugh, whatever, but it's not. I mean, it's different, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a specific, and I guess maybe it's just a problem with, the prophecy sort of predicting the future even time travel, like, kind of storylines. They can really lack in drama if you don't do them right.
Yeah.
You know, and if you just say, you're gonna die, Charlie, and then it's just like him stopping Charlie from dying until he doesn't, and then Charlie dies, it's like, I don't see the big, why exactly do I want to watch that? Mm-hmm. You know? I don't, where's my hook?
Well, there? And then it's, yeah, and then it's like, well, maybe you seeing Charlie die and then averting it all these times is what led to his death.
Yeah.
You know, in this particular way.
Like, well, it certainly seems that way.
Yeah, like, that's what's strange is whenever you have these, like, premonitions and you try to change the present versus what you see in the future, like, you start playing this game where it just does, well, it almost doesn't matter what you do because you can't necessarily tell, well, is that the future if I do nothing? Is that the future that would have happened if I didn't see the future? Is that the future that'll happen if I respond to seeing the future?
Yeah.
Like, you do either one of those options and then something's going to happen and you won't tell, you know, what you did versus what was supposed to happen.
Right.
What sense that makes. And then if you have to do that experiment multiple times, you know, well, I averted his death once. Okay, now I got to do it again. And it's like, what is it? Yeah, you just get lost because you won't be able to. I mean, maybe that's the point, you know, or it's something analogous to the mysteries on the show and all overall. But it's kind of like you'll never understand really what it means. You just have to decide, okay, well, if I see Charlie dying and then I stop her from dying, that means I was supposed to stop her from dying, or it means you know, or it means the opposite, or you know what, you kind of just started placing meaning. And then I think that's when you as an audience can check out of a story, when it's just like, well, it can mean anything, even if, you know, you're doing this subconsciously really, but it's just kind of like, you know, well, it can mean anything, I don't know what it means, they're not being clear about what it means, so why do I care?
And just the lack of follow through. Like, you know, Jack, I remember when he leaves the island, he's like overcome with guilt about leaving people behind and like all the bad things that happened. I'm not sure exactly what he means, but, you know, there's, you know, and he goes into this crazy state where he's using prescription drugs and he's flying on planes hoping they crash and he has this huge thing. You know, whereas Desmond seems like totally fine. It doesn't seem to bother him that maybe he possibly lied to Charlie about what would happen to Claire and led him to die. That might have happened. Or maybe he had a vision that was false and it led to Charlie's death. In any case, he never seems troubled.
Yeah.
By the fact that his visions lead to Charlie's death and to a certain extent, you know, and he doesn't need to, you know, he doesn't, I mean, Jack's thing maybe is bigger. He doesn't need, but it doesn't seem like he even thinks about it again.
Yeah.
And so it makes it even more feel like if it doesn't even matter to him, then how much am I supposed to care?
Yeah.
You know,
like I feel like Desmond. Yeah. You know, he wasn't one of the losties, the original 815, and I think it always showed.
Yeah.
You know, even though he's obviously really plugged into them by the end.
That's what they say.
That's what they say. That's what they showed us.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't really buy
it. Yeah, there's a feeling I have of him being a bit of an imposter in the whole thing, and, like, kind of forcing, you know, inviting himself to the party.
Mm-hmm.
And that he doesn't really belong there, you know?
Yeah.
Just like they don't let Faraday and Miles and whatever characters, even some of the parents, you know, that were seemingly closer. You know, there's a lot of characters that aren't admitted. Helen, you know, for Locke. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of characters that were pretty close to them that aren't admitted because it wouldn't feel right, right? They're not connected to this whole island thing, this whole event.
Yeah.
And I mean, Desmond's in there, but, you know, a lot of people are in there.
well, you know, and I feel like the first big difference that separates him is when we meet him, right? And he gets out of the Swan Station. Yeah. What does he do? He runs away.
Runs away.
Like, yeah. If he had stayed with the group at that point, then he would have become one of them. That was early enough, I think, he could get on the bandwagon and go through drama with them. But then what happens? He runs away. The next time we see him, he comes back only because he can't escape the island.
Yeah, he tried and to then just leave him behind.
Exactly.
They're all crashed there. He knows he has a boat, and he's just like, fuck this, I'm
Screw
out.
Screw those guys, because I don't know them. I'm out of here. And then he gets stuck with them, and he just basically is a loner the whole time.
Yeah.
And he's just stuck with them until, you know, he tries to leave.
Yeah. And when he leaves, he doesn't want anything to do with them. He never comes back to help them willingly. Widmore has to kidnap him by force to bring him back to be the big hero.
Yeah, and to your point, he's forced to be the hero.
Yeah.
Which is classic hero story, right?
Yeah.
Come on, Conan, let's destroy these wild animals, right? No. You brought up an interesting point about Charlie. Like, it would have been interesting if he did have guilt about Charlie's death, and that motivated him to come back to the island willingly.
Yes.
Where he's like, I gotta go help Charlie's friends, you know, I gotta go help him get off because that's what he would have wanted me to do. You know, whatever. But yeah, he did not care. That was, I think that's his problem overall. He's single mindedly focused on Penny.
Yeah.
And that's why the last Desmond episode, you know, like it's when he that's when he's the most annoying. When he's just completely selfish and single minded about whatever he's trying to do. And yeah, once he had Penny, he did not care about anything else.
Yeah, selfish includes Penny. Like, he put Penny in there, that's all he cares about. Yeah.
He wants Penny for himself, right?
Yeah.
Like,
well, exactly.
Like, if he just cared about Penny's well-being, he would tell her never to come to this dangerous island.
Right.
But no, he wants her. No. It's him being selfish.
Come get me, Penny.
Come get me, Penny. Exactly. You have enough time and money. You can come get me. What's really, I think that's something you don't really notice about Desmond. I think you get overwhelmed by the charm and the romanticism and the passion he has about his goals, but then you realize how selfish they are. Jack, that's literally the opposite of what happened with Jack, right? Like, he actually had tremendous guilt about leaving people behind.
Yeah, and some of it was, like, he didn't even, you know, it wasn't really his fault. Like, some of the stuff he felt guilty about, you know, but he took it anyway. Whereas, like, the thing Desmond, I mean, it's 100% his fault, but he doesn't seem to care at all.
It doesn't matter.
You know? And, like, I don't know if I should blame him or blame the writers, but in any case, like, it makes the storyline not work for me.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm completely, like, disconnected from it because it's just, it has no weight at all, you know, going forward. And it's, if it had motivated him, if they had made his character care.
I feel like that should have been his arc, right? Is someone who he starts singularly focused on getting the greatest love of his life back in his life, and then the end of that arc should have been once he gets her back, realizing that there's actually more than life he needs, right? Like, it actually matters that there's other people suffering or something. I feel like that's the extra part.
Absolutely.
Is that could have helped him actually become a different person by the end of the show versus just kind of, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Does he actually change?
And someone I could root for more. So, like, I want to say no. I will say that, you know, I mean, the stuff he does on the island in, you know, at the end of the show is also selfish. I mean, he specifically says, I'm doing this because I think that when I go down there, I'm going to wake up in this place.
See, that's another thing. That's another thing. It's not like, I want to do this to save everybody.
Nah, not that.
I want to do this because I would believe if pulling that cork killed everybody, but it gave him Penny, he would do it. He would just do it.
Yeah, that's, I got to do it, brother.
Got to do it, brother. Sorry, I got to pull the cork, brother.
Got to get to Penny. Yeah, I feel like the one thing that feels like maybe out of character for me is I feel like in The Flash Sideways, when he goes there and he finds Penny, and he wakes up. I feel like they should have just gone off together at that point. The part that feels out of character is that he goes and wakes all the other people up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the selfless thing that he does, I guess, if he does anything selfless, because he had already found Penny and he still goes and wakes the other people up. But it doesn't seem consistent to me. I mean, it's like he found selflessness in the afterlife. Like, that's it? Like,
well, but he still had, like, the real selflessness would be to have to give her up.
Yeah, that's true.
Which he did not have to do.
No,
but there was that little bit of, but I feel like that was still selfish because that was the mission, right? Like he needed to wake all of them up to get out of that place, right? He didn't want to just be there with Penny and the Flash sideways, right? He wanted out of there.
Well, I guess what I feel like should have happened is, like, just Penny and Desmond together move on, you know, the way they...
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, that's their circle.
Yeah.
You know, because I think for Desmond, that's what it is, you know? Yeah. Like, there's no one else. Like, those other people, like, you know, does he really need Libby to move on, you know? Like...
He's like, which one are you again?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, man. I'm the one whose boat you stole.
Oh, he did have a connection with Libby. That's weird. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
but nonetheless, I mean, the people there, you know, a lot of them, I mean, Boone, he never even met Boone. Boone died before he even came out, you know, like.
How you doing? I'm Boone.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice to meet you, brother.
Shannon died shortly after he ran away. You know, like, what does he care about most of those people?
He doesn't. I don't think he does.
I know. And so it makes no sense. Like, if Faraday and Charlotte and Miles and those people are not coming with them, then I don't think he should be there either.
Yeah.
You know, he should have his own thing. That's like a separate thing. Because I feel like that's what they imply at the end. Like, you know, there are, like, different groups that sort of, go, you know, leave the Flash sideways together.
Yeah, but I think from, like, a fan perspective and an audience perspective, I think they felt like he should be included, you know?
Oh, yeah,
because
he's
such a huge character on the show.
Oh,
but,
I agree.
Yeah,
it feels, like, kind of out of character, you know, with what they showed before.
It's out of place. Those delineations are tough, too, because even, like, Rose and Bernard, like, they said peace out to those guys.
Oh, I'm not happy with Rose and Bernard either. Don't worry. I don't think they earned their spot. But you know what? I think they earned their spot more than Desmond did.
Yeah, they did.
At least they were in the fucking plane crash.
Yeah.
And you know, they did some stuff before they peaced out.
Desmond caused the plane crash. Does that help?
Well, that's true. I don't know if that helps.
Or should that disqualify him completely from being part of the... He's responsible for them even doing
it. Yeah, that's a good point. It's all interconnected. I don't know. Yeah, I could definitely buy Rose and Bernard not being there. I think they're there also for kind of sentimental reasons.
Yeah.
Because they had... You know, their storyline had some, well, it had some, like, a sentimental quality, and they, you know, they were the old people that decided to retire, you know, and it's like, I get it, but at the same time, yeah, I feel like, you know what, you don't get to move on if you said, oh, Jack's gonna blow up a hydrogen bomb, who cares?
Who cares, yeah.
Get out
of the church.
Oh,
that's just
right
Jack
now.
Being Jack again.
Yeah, no, you are not moving on with that.
Yeah, or when, like, didn't they come, they came to them for help? Yeah, that's the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, that was it in season 5, and they're just like, oh,
they're
that's
like,
not
we're
our
retired.
Problem.
Yeah, that's
done.
That's a YP.
Exactly.
That's your problem.
That's a YP.
It's a YP.
And they literally said, like, all we care is that we're together.
Yeah.
That's it. And that's like Desmond's.
Yeah.
You know, they're just selfish in that they're just about each other, and they don't care about anyone else. And so, yeah, I just think that's... That goes against what Christian says that whole thing is supposed to be about, you know, like the connections between the people and how important they were supposed to be. Then
you have to assume they had formed that connection by that point.
I guess.
But then it's kind of like, well, what? At what point does the connection, is it formed, you know?
Yeah, I mean, did they get really close to Hurley while he was, you know, ruling over the island?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know, they didn't portray that, but, I mean, I guess that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I mean, they helped a little bit in season six, I'll give them credit, with Desmond. But, again, it's Desmond.
Yeah.
So, Desmond doesn't belong there anyway, so, you know, that whole thing is just, yeah. No, you're right, I definitely think, and especially Penny, I mean, Penny, you know, if Desmond doesn't belong there, Penny really doesn't belong
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
Desmond doesn't even know those people.
Desmond got a plus one and Penny came.
Totally,
yeah.
Totally. Yeah, it's like, so yeah, they fudged that whole thing. But I think aside from that thing, like, Desmond's character is extremely consistent to the point that he never changes.
Yeah.
He's got this, he wants the same stuff for the same reasons, and it's that from, you know, the first time we see him to his last act on the island.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. And even, you know, after that.
And I feel like he never actually, even though he's involved in, I think, almost all of the big crazy mysteries on the island, he never really gets involved with them, like, no. On his own. He never really, like, questions things.
Not at all. No.
You know, like, he had to turn the failsafe so that the island didn't explode and the world didn't end.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, I'm cool with that.
Anyway.
Like, next, like, there's no, oh my god, this island's insane. We gotta protect it. We gotta find out what other places that might be like. You know, like, there's nothing, there's no next after that for
him. Doesn't care. He just wants to get back to Penny. He doesn't care what's going on the island. Yeah, it's weird. How do I get out of here?
It makes it an interesting path, these different parallel paths, you know. It's like, okay, one person can see something mysterious and then denounce it and say, oh, there's an reason why it's an eight. You know, that's like the Jack version. Then there's like the Locke version where they see something mysterious and they're really into it and it confirms whatever they want it to confirm. And then there's like the Desmond one where you see something mysterious, you have proof it actually is. So you can't just say there's a reasonable explanation. Like, the reasonable explanation is that it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the failsafe does something. Pressing the button does something.
Yeah.
But then you don't actually care afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really weird, like, oh, that's crazy. So what?
Right. Right. Yeah. And I mean, I think that's another thing that makes me less interested in his character, is that, you know, obviously I'm invested in those mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a character who doesn't care about the mysteries at all, and it's true, this applies to quite a few characters on the show, not just Desmond.
Yeah.
I think it is true that, like, a big difference is that with, let's say, Sun and Jin, you know, their level of interaction with the craziness on the island
is very small.
Much lower.
Yep, much lower.
And so, like, if they went through what Desmond went through and they didn't care, it would bother me more.
Yeah.
You know, than it does with what they did see and the fact that they still didn't really care and just wanted to leave, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, even, like, Kate or something, you know, I mean, there's several characters that, you know, Sawyer, like, you know, there's a lot of characters that don't get deeply into worrying about what's going on the island.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, that is one thing that's kind of frustrating about the show, is that, you know, that's part of how it works, that it gets you to ask all these interesting questions and wonder about all these crazy things that are going on. But there are relatively few characters that actually care about those questions or would ask them ever on screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Locke, you got, you know, sometimes, although usually it's more practical, Saeed.
Yeah.
You know, you got, to a certain extent, but from a very skeptical point of view, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who cares, but sort of wants to deny everything.
Yeah.
But still, I can get invested in that, because that still means he cares.
Yeah, that means he's engaged in the idea.
If he cares enough to not believe, then he cares more than a lot of characters.
Yeah.
You know, like that's already a level above. But beyond that, you know, I mean, I don't know, Hurley, I guess, to some extent. I don't know. Who else is there?
Yeah.
You know, Ben, I mean, does he count? Juliet doesn't really care.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I think, but what crazy stuff does she see, though?
Well, not that much, to be fair.
Yeah, and I think she thinks
Smoke Monster.
I think she probably thinks there's some rational explanation for the fertility issues.
Yeah.
You know, but...
I'm sure she thinks that, yeah.
But yeah, so much of her life, I think, on the island is really pragmatic, so...
Absolutely.
Besides explaining the smoke monster, you know...
Oh, it's not as unreasonable. She doesn't go through anything like what Desmond does.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's not... I mean, yeah, I'm not blaming her for not caring. It's just, like, I think she never... you know, gets invested in wondering what's going on the island, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's much more just, you know, worrying about more practical things. I think a lot of characters are like that.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, if we talk about the show as a metaphor for life or something, you know, then that's kind of what, it kind of makes sense that, you know, us in life we're not spending all of our days asking philosophical questions.
Right.
We're dealing with the day-to-day issues of survival, and that's what most of the Losties do.
Right, exactly. Yeah, like why things, you know, happen the way they happen, or why things work the way they do, or why this thing happened. Like, it definitely doesn't. I think, it does. It makes sense. I mean, there's a logic there. Mm-hmm. It's just, it can be frustrating if you want to know those things, but again, they want that.
Yeah, and you would think that if you were at a place like this, surrounded by mysteries, that more people would be involved in it, but I think that's kind of their point, is even on an island full of mysteries, there's practical things that get in the way, and unless you're seeking mystery, or unless it directly, you know, grabs you...
Or, you know, in Locke's case, like, there's a hole in your life that you need to fill with something, you know, crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, and I mean, things are, you know, a lot of times, like, scientists and stuff are portrayed that way. Like, they have some deficiency or some problem in their life that leads them to obsess over this sort of scientific thing or whatever. And I feel like that's sort of what's going on with Locke, like his own problems. And obviously the fact that he was able to walk again, you know, as proof that there's crazy stuff going on. So I guess, you know, he falls into the Desmond category, that he experiences, you know, the full on craziness of the island.
Yeah.
But he does get maybe a little too invested.
Yep.
To his own peril. Because there are things on the island that, you know, don't have his best interest in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting depiction of obsession, I think. And basically, you know, that's really where that obsession came, you know, created the idea that Locke is the villain on the show. You know, he's responsible for a lot of mayhem.
Oh, yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. And that's, I feel like that's, it's almost right at the beginning, you know? I mean, it starts so quickly that's the case. You know, he's the one who knocks out Saeed when he's trying to triangulate the signal, you know? Yeah. Like, even at that point,
he's already blowing up submarines in season one.
Like, it's like, wow, even day five or whatever, you're already sabotaging stuff. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
His hiding the hatch, his blowing it up, his charging in there, you know, without a plan. Obviously, the you know, not what, you know, forcing, destroying the computer and not pushing the button.
Yeah.
I mean, but I feel like that was even the, you know, the early stages, like his real mayhem.
Yeah. Hasn't even started yet.
Hasn't even started.
Yeah.
Like we're really just getting into the part where he's really going to start causing trouble now.
Yeah.
Like yeah, he's going to get way out of hand.
It's really strange that the character who's like most in line with the idea of the show is the one causing all the drama.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know, and it's not, yeah, it's not the guy who wants to leave the island who's doing all the sabotaging and
right.
stuff. The guy who wants to stay there.
Yeah.
That's causing the problem, which I guess that makes sense. If everybody wants to leave, then it's
right.
the guy who wants to stay that's the problem.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing how much he does. And, yeah, and maybe that's, you know, if we get to talk to Carlton and Damon, maybe that's why they'll say he got such a horrible ending, is he did all this bad stuff that needed to...
Right. Yeah. Have some...
Yeah, but he's, like, sympathetic the entire time. Well, not the entire time. There's a lot of times you're not sympathizing.
Yeah, yeah. I would say,
but by the end, I feel like you sympathize definitely. With him, and this
yeah.
is, and then it's like this is when you're gonna punish him the worst.
Yeah,
you know he goes. I just that's the most heartbreaking thing ever is going around the world trying to convince your friends who you're gonna create a afterlife with.
Yeah.
To do you one last favor, and they all say no to your face. So pathetic.
Oh my god.
And then you decide to kill yourself, and right before you do. Your arch nemesis talks you out of it only so he can do it himself.
Yeah, yeah.
It's ridiculous. So humiliating. It's ridiculous.
Really degrading. I can't believe they put him through that. It's insane.
And then it's like the only next worst thing they should do is like after Ben kills him, Locke wakes up in the afterlife, and then he sees Ben there, and then Ben just, like, slaps him. Like, that's
yeah.
just the first thing he gets in the
yeah,
afterlife.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Slap from Ben or something. Yeah, it's so strange. It's so sad.
It is. And I can't... I mean, as much as he... And especially, I would say season 3 is really the height of Locke the troublemaker, you know,
yeah.
more mischievous than like his, you know,
yeah,
his big like things that he's gonna do later.
Yeah, the Dennis the Menace version of Locke.
You know, I really watching the show, you know, I get really pulled into his story. You know, I find it really compelling, and even when he's doing stuff that I don't really agree with, you know, I still care about it. And I think that's what's not happening with Desmond for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he's even doing stuff I agree with and I don't care. It's just like, I can't. And so, I sort of feel like, a lot of these storylines get kind of put on hold for this end of the season. Like the end of the season is a lot about it's a lot about Desmond and Charlie, and it's a lot about the pregnancy thing. You know what I mean? They spend a lot of time on that. That like a lot of the action and the tension and so on in the final episode comes from that. Which I think is too bad, because like those are just like the worst plot lines.
Yeah.
From this season, you know, and you know, thinking back, it's like I think there's a lot of good stuff in this season, but it's not the stuff that they are focusing on at the end. I think the only thing at the end that really pulls me in is this idea that there's a freighter there.
Yeah, the freighter was big.
You know, I think that. I'm definitely invested in, and that whole storyline, it has its moments that aren't maybe the clearest, as I recall. But I think overall it's a lot more successful. Mm-hmm. You know, it introduces a lot of interesting characters, and we get a lot of really interesting plot lines, and the consequences of it don't just disappear once, you know, season four is over.
Yeah, yeah.
For example, like they do with these two plot lines.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, the science team on the freighter was a big extra burst of life for the show, and gave us this second group of characters that were fairly all pretty interesting.
Yeah, and Kimi.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Kimi. He's one of the better, like, you know, what, like, classic bad guys.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he's pretty simple. He's kind of just a thug sort of character, but, like, they made him pretty interesting to watch. Like, you know, the actor's good, and, mm-hmm. you know, he kills Alex. I think maybe that's, like, a big thing for making his character, like, seem really threatening.
Yeah.
And, you know, making it personal. Mm-hmm. Instead of just, like, Widmore sent me, and now I kill you. Like, he's like, no.
Yeah, I feel like he's, like, what Pickett should have been or something.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Pickett was never that interesting. He was never formidable. But, like, yeah, Kimi was a completely different. Like, for, like, he's almost like a classic TV antagonist.
Yeah.
Thug, but, like, yeah, he just completely... turn it up a notch and make it a memorable character.
Yeah, he's not like super complex, you know. He's not like,
yeah, on paper it's not that interesting, I think.
Yeah, yeah, it's all about the way they play it that makes it work. Mm-hmm. You know, and so
and he was like unpredictable, and
yeah definitely. Yeah, you know, the thing is, like, I never felt like Pickett was ever gonna kill Sawyer.
Yeah.
It just didn't feel even remotely possible.
Yeah. I'm laughing because it's laughable. Oh no, this random other's going to kill Sawyer. Yeah, no.
Yeah, like, how could they possibly let that happen?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, it's worse than that, isn't it? I guess technically Kimi, I mean, not necessarily Kimi, but Kimi's team, like, they also kill Rousseau and Carl. Before they kill Alex. Like, they put that whole plot line to death.
Yeah, they did.
Which is kind of crazy. I mean, it's not a main character, but nonetheless, it's pretty big.
No, yeah, that was huge. I remember that.
Yeah, I kind of forgot that, actually. She dies first. And then they take Alex.
Yeah.
And try to use her to get Ben to come out. You know, and obviously the Ben and Alex thing, I mean, you know, they lean on that plot line till the fucking end of the series. Like, that's mm-hmm. a huge thing. And, like, I think that's part of, at least for me, like, TV plots and rewatching them. The reason why they work when you already know the whole story, you know, I mean, there's the in the moment drama, like, that can work or not. But mm-hmm. I think when they have consequences, when you know that things matter, I think it's yeah. way easier to watch again and get invested in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Because yeah.
you know, like, he's still going to be talking about this, like, 2 years from now.
Yeah.
You know? Like, this is going to be a huge thing. And it's in the, like, afterlife, he's dealing with it. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, it's the opposite of what we started this conversation with about Charlie and the drugs.
Yeah, you know, totally.
It's the opposite of that.
Totally. And, you know, Charlie's actually on drugs in the Flash Sideways without comments, and then he just goes to the church and they move on. And there's really no, there's, like, no drama to it at all. It's just like, yeah, meh.
Wow.
I was just hanging out doing some drugs. Might as well, right?
Might as well. Hey, it's my Flash Sideways.
Got nothing better to do.
Wow.
Yeah, until Hurley and Saeed show up and, like, shoot him with a trank dart and pop him in the trunk.
Oh, jeez. Like,
make him go to the fucking church.
Wow. There's no time to explain to him what's going on.
No,
no. So we'll just take him and he'll just come with us.
That's it. Yeah, no, wow. they don't explain it. They shoot him with a dart and force him to come along. Like, great, Charlie.
Yeah, and that again goes towards that obnoxious quality Desmond has of like bullying people, you know?
Yeah.
This is like this bully quality of like, oh, I'm just gonna do this and, it's good for you. Just shut up and take it.
Hitting Locke with the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I know what's best for you. He beats up Ben too. Like, it's a whole thing. He's just like gonna go around and like.
I feel like they totally pulled a source code.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's just have this guy beat up his way towards the goal. Anyone who gets in his way, whether they're a good guy or a bad guy, he's just going to start beating them up. He's just going to punch him. Wow, they totally just made a source code out of that. They totally pulled source code. Wow.
That's a horrible thing to imitate.
Right?
I hope everyone listening to this has forgotten about the Jake Gyllenhaal vehicle source codes.
Oh, man. The sci-fi extravaganza of 2008. When did that come out?
Something like that, yeah. 2010? I don't know. 2000-something, yeah, a 11, few years ago. Yeah. It's not a good movie.
Oh, man. It made so much money. But, yeah, if you're unfamiliar with the reference, basically, Jake Gyllenhaal has no skills needed to solve this mystery that he's, you know, most characters in most stories when they're involved in the plot of the story have some sort of quality that's going to help them do this thing. So like a detective story, the detective has detection skills that he uses to solve the case. But like, yeah, this guy has no skills.
Yeah, he was like a helicopter pilot.
He was a helicopter pilot, and he never flies a helicopter. He uses any military training.
Zero.
All he does to try to figure out where the bomb is on this train, spoiler alert, is beat up people.
And do you know where the bomb is? Punch.
Oh, you don't? Okay, I'll come back to you later and... Yeah, it's really, but see, that's the thing. Like, it makes the character really active, and it makes it passionate. And he's going after this goal really hard. But if you stand back, you're like Desmond. But if you stand back and look what he's actually doing, it's like that's stupid.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You're right. I never realized Desmond is.
The whole last season, he's just doing that.
He's like source coding everyone. Yeah, that's. Oh my god, that's so ridiculous. And there's really no, I get no sense that, and actually Charlie does that to him. He drives the car into the, you know, marina or whatever that was.
Oh yeah.
You know? Like, here, I'll drown you and then you'll remember Penny. Like I guess you're right. I guess the point was they wanted to try to give some action and some, you know, a little bit more, you know, movement in the whole like waking up process.
Yeah, yeah, they wanted to be more active.
Yeah, some violence, some
like,
big.
You know, events. It's funny. That's not. I'm watching Under the Dome, and you know, Stephen King property, and that's not unlike part of the plot of Under the Dome, where I don't know if I want to tell you too much, but there's a thing that happens where in order to get a certain result from people, a strong emotion / physical pain is the catalyst.
Wow.
And I wonder if they were like, we like Stephen King, we'll use that.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I mean, it is kind of a trope, like
it's like getting hit on the head and remembering something.
The amnesia thing. Like you get hit on the head, you get amnesia. You get hit on the head, you remember things.
Yeah.
Like they had that in Twin Peaks. Like that's an old. So it's sort of like that. I feel like it's, you know, big traumatic events like trigger memories. Like they shake the brain loose or something and, you know, make them have these, images, these flashes or whatever come into their brain. I wouldn't be surprised if that's at least floating around there somewhere. Obviously they're big fans.
All right, well, we're also big fans of this episode.
Are we?
Which is why we spent 2 hours not watching it
talking about anything but this episode.
We spent most of the time talking about Desmond in this Charlie episode.
Well, at least Desmond's in it.
Yeah, yeah, he's in it. He's around. He's doing stuff.
We talked about Charlie as much as we could. I mean, Jesus. What are you,
as much as needed.
How long can we talk about Charlie, like, you know? I mean,
yeah. Oh, Charlie.
So I can't, you know. Can't write a novel about
you
Charlie.
All everybody, am I right?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
You all everybody.
Is it the only, like, stupid people?
Is it like the only song where the chorus is the verse? And
yeah,
the,
that's the whole song. The chorus is the verse, and it's like a minute and 20 seconds long.
Yeah, and why were you guys just a one-hit wonder? Oh, that really sounds like half a hit.
Yeah, it really should be.
Too fun. All right, well, I'm ready to go. Let's get this over with.
Take our medicine.
Yeah.
All right. Who knows? Maybe it'll be way better than I remember.
Let's just hope it's not worse than you remember. Let's start there.
Yeah, that would be like Catch 22. Oh my god. Yeah. All right.
All right, everybody, get your players ready. If you're gonna sync up with us for some greatest hits.
Let's do it.
I feel like we need like a good sound effect every time we say greatest hits. Like,
yeah,
we gotta have a great hit.
Ka-ching! Yeah, I have no idea what the sound is supposed to be, but I agree.
All right, everybody, get your players ready if you're going to sync up with us for some greatest hits.
Yeah.
All right, let me know when you're ready.
I am ready.
All right, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Previously on Lost. Previously on Lost, Desmond's nostrils.
I remember those nostrils.
Yeah.
And we're rehashing this plot line that I was just complaining about.
Yep. This is going to be a great episode.
Oh, here we go. The woman with the wig. You talking about the woman with the wig?
Because they don't trust you. Ouch.
God.
Wow.
Ooh.
Wow.
Sassy.
Somebody's queen bee around here. Jeez. Because I haven't said it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get the memo? Did you get the memo where I said what we were going to do about it? No? Then I haven't decided.
Step off.
Yeah, he had a little head shake there. Yeah,
this is a weird opening. I can't believe they opened on Carl runs to the outrigger. That's the first scene? Really? Wow.
Well, they have to add some drama because this isn't too dramatic.
Then, that's a good point.
Traipsing across the jungle.
I don't even remember why he's running.
Something that won't matter.
Yeah, that sounds about right. How about some openness? Yeah.
You're gonna die, brother. He's a good liar.
Yeah. So the weird thing that starts happening here, I mean, I guess it happened before, but I mean, ever since Catch-22, like, we're not going to see the flashes again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to us to decide, did he have a flash?
Oh,
what
geez.
Was it?
That's a game nobody wants to play.
I know. I know. I don't. And I did it. But no. No, somehow.
She's like, yeah, you're going to be sorry. Saeed's always on point.
Yep, yep. And cue this whole thing. That's right. It's the end of the season. I got to show my face.
Yep.
And now we find out why she went to the Black Rock for dynamite.
All right.
To blow up a tree. That was a perfectly good tree.
The tree bothered nobody.
Nobody. Not really. They quit coming back.
Oh, wow.
Days? I thought she just went once.
Wow.
Wow.
There's gonna be bombs inside. Oh man, they're just gonna blow up the others.
Pregnant bombs. Boom.
Wow. They're gonna blow up.
Uh oh.
Boom. Wow.
Yeah. You know, I feel like that should be a really big, exciting moment. Like taking, you know, finally taking action against the others.
Yeah.
I definitely like the way he played it. It's definitely dramatic. I think the only problem for me is I don't care about the pregnancy plot.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty crazy though that they're just gonna blow them up.
Yeah.
Where I feel like, now that we know who the others really are, I feel really sympathetic towards them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't actually deserve to be blown up. They're not actually trying to kill you. Even if they come for the pregnant women, they actually don't want to kill them.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the thing. I mean, and Julia should know that, too, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if they really... Is she speaking up and telling them anything about why they want pregnant women? Like,
oh, that's a good point.
It's weird. Oh no. Speaking of great songs.
He's like, no, I just popped in our cassette tape. Sorry, guys. This is a joke.
Sorry, just a demo. We haven't released an album yet. I don't think Rachel can.
Guys, remember we didn't finish recording? We just got the demo? Yeah. That's why it's only you all, everybody, because we didn't finish it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
What a question.
It's funny.
Want to ask me something else?
Are you having a laugh?
No, not that.
Of course, not that.
Oh, this is a great, little piece of info. Although, is she lying?
I feel like she could be, but it also could be true. I don't really know. Desmond.
Oh, he's giving him the you're gonna die look.
Yeah, totally.
Take that wig off.
I know, the wig. It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
It's funny because I didn't notice it was a wig the first time. And I remember, like, from season 4, your famous quote, like, with a wig like that, Miles is definitely interested.
Nice, I forgot about that line.
And I think that was the first time, like, I really thought about the fact that it was a wig, and now that I know, I can't stop staring at it.
It's just so obviously a wig. That's the problem with some wigs, where they just stand out. They're like a character.
Plus, I've seen that actress with her real hair, and it's really different.
Yeah.
It looks nothing like that. Because that's a wig.
Yep.
Saeed loves these walk and talks.
He loves the walk and talk.
He did that same thing in season 2.
Yeah. He's like a cat, you know, when you're just walking by and the cat comes up to you and wants to rub up against you. He does that.
Yeah, and it's always like, there's this thing going on, but we need to focus on this other thing.
Yeah, it's always not the right time for him.
Yeah. AD Moss is pretty far, actually. Well, I think they get closer later.
Yeah.
Oops.
What? There's an underwater station blocking signals that are coming off the land?
Yeah, that makes sense, right?
They specifically said they weren't coming for him.
Yeah, they're not. Spoiler alert, Claire. They don't care about your baby.
Yeah. The part that they cared about is over.
So over. They cared about you when you were pregnant because it was the pregnancy issue.
Yeah, they didn't actually care about the baby himself.
Not at all. Russo thought that they did.
She still doesn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, did Charlie ever, like, explain to her that when Russo took the baby, like, she didn't actually... She didn't actually, like, the others didn't ask her to do that?
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I'm going to agree.
Look at these red shirts in the back.
I know.
Moving stuff. What are you guys doing?
Yeah. I guess they're getting rid of,
are they getting rid of, like, some of this wreckage on the set so we don't have to see it again or something?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Oh, this is where it is.
This is it.
So he claims that that was the flash that he had when Charlie said you had flash, I guess.
Okay.
And so once again, I say it's up to us to decide because they don't show it.
Well, here's the question. Why would he say that at this point? What's even the reason of saying that?
I guess I would say to make Charlie die, like, just like in Catch-22, I guess. Like, because he thinks Charlie has to die so he can see Penny again.
See, I feel like that's the line right there. If you don't, none of it will happen. Like, we already went through this. He tested this theory before.
Yeah.
And I feel like, what was the answer? What's the answer?
Yeah.
Because didn't he do everything... to get when he thought Penny was landing in the helicopter, and he did everything he thought he was supposed to do, and it wasn't Penny.
Yeah, yeah.
Chala?
Chala?
Jump in, Chala!
You gotta jump!
Zip it.
Oh, of course it's him.
Mm-hmm. I'm 2 feet away from you. I can reach out and touch you right now if I wanted. This is a lot of pressure. Why is he...
Wow. Did that count as catching him?
No, I think he was supposed to... I guess he did. That counted as catching him.
Okay. Because I thought catch usually means you grab it with your hands before it hits the...
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's the British catch. My greatest hit.
Here, catch, and then you pick it up off the floor, and you're like, I caught it.
Yep.
What?
I don't. I could skip it.
Mm-hmm. It's a hatch. Come on, Desmond.
It's a hatch now.
How are you inside a door?
Yep.
And then a crazy Russian man shows up.
Yeah, he missed that part.
Probably toward the end of the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
I. I means no. There's a little more to it.
Wait, why? How does he know flipping the switch doesn't blow up something? Like,
yeah, he doesn't know anything.
It's so weird.
It's very weird. Here it is. There's the mistake. The looking glass hatch.
That's well, in the script, Desmond just called it a hatch, you know?
Yeah.
Of course they make this mistake.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. I get why they did it. Yeah. But Greg Nation was like, I don't know, the prop department, they're crazy. Cable?
What? Oh,
good. Yeah, this is a big deal for anyone who's been following the mystery of the Cable.
Yeah. The Cable conspiracy.
Like, they're actually gonna... I mean, that's way early in season one that we first see it, and now here we are.
Yeah, like... it's crazy that they came back to that.
Yeah.
Well, this is that part of Lost where they tie up a long-term mystery, which gives you hope they'll do that with other mysteries.
Absolutely. It's a good point.
Like, shouldn't he tell them that Desmond can see the future and, like, that should be part of their planning?
I don't think anyone knows. Except, I think Hurley said he knew and, like, Charlie knows, but I don't think anyone else knows.
I'm saying, like, right in this scene.
Oh, I agree.
But they're discussing,
I agree, but I don't think anyone ever finds out.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, Charlie and Desmond should be like, by the way, Desmond can see the future,
yes!
And it's involved in flipping a switch, which what you guys want to do.
I will throw that into what I don't like about the plot. Like, it doesn't matter beyond those characters.
Yeah.
Which you would think it would, especially because what they're talking about now concerns all of them. Not just Charlie and Desmond.
And seeing the future is a good thing to have when you're planning.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. I mean, maybe they think they just won't believe them or something, but it really wouldn't hurt to try. Oh, you know, they always stare at me.
Mm-hmm.
It's my natural radiance.
I am Sud, after all.
Exactly. He didn't even know about that? Sorry, I'm surprised. I thought they would have discussed that. Wow.
Especially since it was good news.
What have they been...
I guess because it was about his infertility, so maybe it's a sensitive topic.
I guess so, but on the other hand, it revealed that he wasn't infertile, so you would think that would be something he would be happy to hear.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Uh-oh, Carl.
Oh, no, what was Carl all upset about? What's he running? Saeed's running, jeez. He's gonna tackle him? But it's Carl.
Yeah.
For a very brief time. And he wasn't supposed to be in that cage. Not again.
I love this shot of the peanut gallery.
I know.
I just don't care because...
That was the big thing?
Yeah. Like,
it's and then so, we cut to like, their camp.
These are the people who are coming.
Yeah. I mean, at least it's 6 hours ago. It was 6 hours chilling.
Yeah. She's cutting up a rabbit. Like, this isn't an army, you know? Like, no. They're not cold, but they're not Kimi's team. They're not cold-blooded killers.
Yeah. It doesn't have the same punch as it used to. I think we know too much about the others now to, like, sell that as a big... Yeah. And, you know, the others are coming. They already did that. They've already done that multiple times. Like,
it's... Yeah, but this time they're coming now.
Yeah, I know. Wait a minute. Did he just say... All right, sorry. I gotta go back to that. I'm just gonna bookmark that.
Right. Pickett part two, this guy.
Yeah, totally.
I think he's actually a little bit better.
He's definitely better. He feels more substantial.
Yeah.
Like, thug-type character. Yeah, here's Ben just...
Oh, wow, that's the dad from, I think I made this comment before. Yeah, he's the dad from, Tokyo Drift.
Really?
Yeah, that's funny.
He's, right. What's his name's dad?
Well, in Tokyo, in that movie, it's not any of the main characters from the
movie. Okay. He's not Vin Diesel's dad or Paul Walker.
No, they introduced it follows another kid.
Oh, okay. Rabbit?
Price, yeah. Price and Pickett.
Right. Yeah. Would Ben really have killed Carl? I mean, is it... That's weird. I don't even know why she doubts that right now. Except that the audience knows.
Yeah.
And then they cut. Oh, so they actually pull that move. I don't like that move.
What move?
Like, cut to the thing and then go, like, 16 hours earlier.
Oh, yeah, I hate that.
Like, this is a really small version of that. It's not the worst I've seen, but, like, let's open on him running, because running's exciting.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, they show us why he's running later. It's not a good device, I think.
That look in her face.
Carl is just, I can't take him seriously in this scene.
You're a little behind, Carl.
It's just not working. It's their island. It's their island as much as it's your island, Bernard.
Yeah. Really, Hurley?
Yeah.
Radio Tower, they have karaoke? Why the radio tower?
Because it's also blocking the signal from the freighter.
Yeah, but why take people there?
Oh, because it's away from the camp, I guess?
Just away.
Yeah. I assume.
I'm pretty convinced this actor's a vampire.
He really does look like a vampire.
Without makeup, he doesn't need vampire makeup. He just looks like a vampire.
Yeah. Yeah, he really seems like he should have been in True Blood or something.
Yeah, right?
This is, yeah. He should
have been Warlow or whatever.
Yeah, totally. Or Franklin.
Franklin, yeah. He probably auditioned. No, don't give it to him!
No!
We'll have to see it forever.
I know, they will never drop this fucking ring. No matter how little anyone cares about it.
The firstborn. Oh,
yeah.
I'm describing myself.
This is dramatic irony or something.
Mm-hmm.
The ring. It's all about the ring.
It's the one ring. Take it to Mordor, Charlie.
He is a hobbit.
He is a hobbit! He's familiar with it from some rings. Oh, that's weird.
That's right.
Kate, Evangeline Lilly's part of that world too now.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Wow, last Lord of the Rings crossovers. Who knew?
Oh man, that'd been so great. Oh, that's a fanfic somebody needs to write. Lost meets Lord of the Rings, and the volcano on the island is Mordor.
Oh shit! Oh shit!
Oh man.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's like you cut to the end of Lord of the Rings where they get to Mordor.
Wait a minute. Sorry. I think our first mini podcast, we talked about a theory that was like Lost as Lord of the Rings.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Do you remember what I'm talking about? And it was like, yeah, and Locke's Gandalf, and I don't remember exactly how it
went. Oh, man, yeah, wow.
Yeah, that was our very first thing. It's lost now, sadly, because, like, whoever was hosting it disappeared.
And Jack is Viggo Mortensen or something.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's totally there.
Exactly. Yeah, it was like Lost Middle Earth, something like that.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, we gotta find that.
Yeah, that just like set that off in my head. I was like, oh man.
I was just thinking like you have the scene where they're about to throw the ring into Mordor. Well,
right.
Or they get to Mordor and it's not there because somebody moved the island,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a chunk of land missing, and that's the island.
That would be awesome.
And like, yeah, and then Man in Black is like Sauron.
Of course. It all makes sense now, actually.
Yeah, it does.
Oh God, not a baby.
Turnip head.
Yeah.
Medical condition.
I'm not acting.
This isn't acting.
I just want to touch your face.
I'm in the moment. I'm a baby.
I hate Hawaii.
All right, get on with it, guys.
This is our big goodbye. Come on.
Oh.
We gotta care about this,
it's
right?
Like he's gonna die soon.
I mean, they had to do something like this, I think.
I guess. Doesn't he leave his ring with the baby?
Yeah.
Did he already do that?
Yeah, I think he did it just now. Like off screen, maybe they'll cut.
Oh, passing the ring to his son. Oh, I get it now.
Oh.
Yeah, that was it, right?
I don't think I ever made that connection.
I don't think I did either. Like, that's the thing he never would have, so.
You're totally right. But the baby doesn't take it. It actually just sits there. And they find it again in season 6. Still sitting there. So his plan fails. But you're totally right. That's what he's trying to do.
And that's why it failed, because it's Charlie.
This is Charlie the Busker. Oh, no.
Yes.
Fifth scene!
Fakest mugging ever.
The worst. He doesn't really want it.
No.
He doesn't really want it.
Not to negotiate. And he throws the priest over his head. He had the upper hand. He had the knife.
He had it in his hands.
And he threw it down. He's like, he took one look at Charlie and said, I can't pick this guy up.
And he just ran. Just run. What are you doing? That wasn't really a fight, Charlie.
No.
That was like a slight tug of war. Oh, no. Nadia's fucking speech.
What did she say? Oh, this part?
Yeah.
How did she count how many people came by?
She had a lot of awareness.
She's like filing her taxes as she's like dealing
yeah,
with
yeah, she's really, and she's got like a big like presentation ready. It's weird. That was a weird ass scene.
Yeah, that was weird.
Like, I guess they wanted a lot to happen so fast that it just felt, and they had to really underline the point. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. That's a weird one.
At a certain point, you're not swimming, Charlie. That's the point of the moon pool, is to not be swimming at a certain point.
Swim to the door, open the door, swim through the door.
Does it matter? Yeah, Charlie, if you drown before...
It really should matter. But I guess he's like...
I think that the line should have been long enough, not does it matter.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he thinks if he's supposed to do it, then he'll succeed no matter what.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, does it matter? Yeah.
Like, I think that's what he's thinking.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. That was a weird line.
Like, that seemed sarcastic, but it made her relent, so...
But yeah, it seemed like she meant it. That was weird. It was weird. Oh, yeah.
That's the look of someone who doesn't want you to come along.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, God.
Yeah, like, here we go.
My impending death is the second worst thing I've heard today. Uh-oh. Oh.
Yeah. They had to have one last scene with these two. I think anyone watching this at the time, I mean, I guess they could go either way with this, but they're clearly setting Charlie up to die. Or at least us to think that he might die.
Mm-hmm.
With these, like, sad goodbye scenes back to back.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do that as a fake out, but... Charlie's time had come, I think.
Here we go. End of another season, eh?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Gonna be walking somewhere. Oh, I thought the third shooter would be Bernard. I guess he was the second shooter.
Guess. Why are they short so many shooters?
I don't get it.
It should be like Sawyer.
Yeah.
Bernard, Saeed.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, she totally leaves the ring behind.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie knew they were all going to leave.
You're not my mommy! Yeah, there we go.
That's a weird thing to cut to.
It's really weird. It's,
yeah. And then cut to his hand not having it.
Yeah. It's like, she's just going to leave that behind forever now.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Oh, so they outriggered over the cable. I guess. So I was like, why is there an outrigger sitting there? But I guess that's the one that Carl brought? They took Carl's? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Okay. Shouldn't be more than one. There was a lot of outriggering in these days.
Yeah.
That was the first time I ever heard the word outrigger. Oh, they're just, like, pulling themselves
together. Yeah, it's the best way to outrig, I think. Just keep pulling.
Yeah.
And they pull themselves to space. Oh, no. Okay.
Oh, wow. They're showing plane wreckage. Oh, yeah. This must be a flashback.
Flashback, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is when he was Hoodie Charlie.
One of Charlie's greatest hits. See, this is when the others cared about you, Claire.
You gotta be twice as warm when you have a baby.
I feel like the baby might make you warmer. I mean, I don't really know, but you know, the baby would produce some body heat. I don't know.
Owie.
Oh, man.
Helicopter? What?
Yeah, I know. I feel like he only said helicopter because of the fucking Desmond thing. Like, they weren't talking about helicopters before.
They never mentioned a helicopter before.
No. Helicopters are short range. Like, you shouldn't expect a helicopter. A scene they deleted for a good reason. Yes, I know they probably filmed that later. I understand. Like, I feel like we see them meet. I guess I don't really remember, though.
Yeah, I do feel like there was a different meeting scene.
Yeah. Slight retcon there.
I feel like he's going to fly in the ocean and be lost forever. I feel like that's what's fitting.
Yeah.
Time writing it and it just flies away.
Oh, you know, Desmond never gives this to Claire. Just for the record.
Perfect.
She never gets it. I don't know what he does with it. I mean, he dives in, so maybe it just gets ruined in the water. In any case, he never thinks about it again. Just another example of complete indifference.
A dying man's last wish, and he can't even fulfill it.
Can't even be bothered. And he's the reason he's doing all this.
Yeah.
It's because of what Desmond said. What? I agree. Your flashes. Now he's just Yeah, but this is Lost. What? Right here. This is totally Lost.
At the very last minute, you're going to change all that it means?
He's going to change his mind, yeah. I don't even know if he believes this, or if he just thinks he should say this, or I have no idea.
Like, when did his mind change?
Seemingly, like, just now. Like, the fact there, like, Charlie's ready to dive in, and he's like, well, you know what? Maybe never mind. Maybe this is a Desmond deal.
A DD?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just, you can't start the episode with, it has to be this way or we'll never get off the island, and then at the very end you go, well, maybe not.
Mm-hmm. What, classic TV head bonk?
Yep, one bonk is all it takes.
Out.
He's out. Yep.
Out. No consciousness.
Yep. And no consequences afterwards.
Yeah. It's never a problem. He's not going to have a concussion and brain damage and... So, maybe
he didn't notice Charlie put this letter on it.
The thing is possible.
And when he swims down later, it gets lost.
It's just gone, yeah. Yeah, it's totally possible. I don't remember if we even see it in the next episode. We should keep an eye out when we see the next one.
Yeah.
If they even bother to show it again. Or if it just blows away right now.
Yeah, or there's like a deleted scene where a seagull lands on the picture and like takes it and flies away. Or the Hurley bird comes by.
Yes. Oh, that would be awesome. So it's a weight belt, but you hold it in your hand?
Oh, his shoes are coming off now.
Oh, did they just fall off in the water?
Yeah, well, they look like they were pretty floppy.
Yeah.
He could have put it on as a belt. I guess maybe it wasn't necessarily big enough. But I think he'd want to be able to have it let go fast, so.
Yeah. Right. If it's trapped around your body.
Every time people hold their breath on TV, I try to hold my breath to see how long it really takes.
And yeah.
It's usually longer than you think.
It's usually, I can't do it.
Like, now he's panicking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what'd you think, Charlie? You thought it was easy?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I realize how 60s the soundtrack on this show is. Like, the score is so, like, 60s TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think of it as just being classic, but I guess that's... Yeah. I see what you mean, definitely.
It seems like you're watching, like, a black and white drama or something.
Yeah, I like that style, but it is... You don't hear that on a lot of TV shows.
Yeah.
Except if you watch TV shows from the 60s. All right.
Now swim to the room with the switch.
Yeah, I know, right? If you're not swimming, clearly his prophecy is not true.
What? People, huh?
TV's Bonnie and Greta. What are you doing here?
Oh, Bonnie and Greta. Wow, I wouldn't even remember their names.
I can't forget. It sticks in my head, because there's just something about those names.
Wow, Lost.
There it goes.
Perfect.
You're welcome, America. Chew on that for a week.
Oh, save some room for leftovers. Yeah, wow. You know... Classic Desmond being an asshole at the very end is just too perfect, I think. It's just like, after, and that, again, that's exactly what we didn't like about Catch-22. He makes up the rules as he goes along.
Absolutely.
And you never get to figure out what's real or not with the rules and how it's supposed to work. And he's super certain Charlie has to do this.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, it's like, no, you know what? I probably can do it. It's
maybe
like,
not.
What? Why did he say that before?
Maybe the reason that I see you dying is because I'm supposed to die. Like, what? Yeah. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Are you kidding? Like, that makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
Come on, Desmond. You don't believe that.
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous.
It's totally ridiculous. Yeah, he's so wishy-washy, and we don't even know what he saw. So we don't know what he's drawing his conclusions from.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, it's very frustrating, I think, for the audience to just deal with his, you know, dithering.
Yeah, it is. It's very frustrating. Yeah, I love how Charlie makes his greatest hits, and it's not gonna matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody even saw it but us.
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird to actually have his last. I mean, this is the last thing he'll ever write, and it still comes to like nothing.
It's the title of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's the structure for the flashbacks.
Yeah. You know?
Which I think was probably a good move, because I think by having the flash, have it be like five short flashbacks of like completely different stuff,
mm-hmm.
from different points of his life. Like, I think that's a good idea rather than trying to do a conventional Charlie flashback, because like, I think they were out of material for that, you know, because they can write, oh, here's a song on the radio. They don't have a scene after that. So let's just move on.
Yeah.
You know? Like, oh, his dad taught him to swim. We're done here. Like, there's no extra thing. And so it's just, I think that was a good choice, because I think it made the flashback parts less, I mean, not that they were great, but it made them less boring, that mm-hmm. there was more variety. You know, it went through time, and it even ends up on the island. You know, not that that flashback on the island was really spectacular, but, you know, it was... I think given that they want to do a Charlie episode, they know he's going to die, and we just got to sit through this. You know, I think it could have been worse.
Yeah, and it's actually, I mean, obviously they designed these flashbacks for a reason, and they kind of make sense for the mission he has ahead of him, right?
Yeah.
So you have number one about Claire, which is the big reason he's doing this, so he can get Claire to safety. Number two, woman calls him a hero.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to go do something heroic. So here's a thing that where he was called a hero that mattered to him. Three, Liam giving him the ring. You know, it's like he gives it to Aaron to have his legacy keep going, you know, so that gets passed along.
Right.
Dad teaching how to swim. He's got to literally swim to go do this mission.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like if it was some other mission and he had to run really fast, the flashback would be that time Dad taught me to run. You know, I won my first race running with Dad or something, you know. It's completely...
Do it, Charlie. I'll catch you.
I'll catch you at the finish line. and then five, the first time I heard myself on the radio, I think that's, you know, about his legacy too. And about, like, what his life meant and all that stuff, like...
Right. Oh, they actually had Naomi bring that up, like that when he died in the plane crash, that they released the greatest hits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like, it's that specifically, you know, how the world. But
what was it? They were a one hit wonder.
I know.
With one album, and like, so what
it's
was
13 times you all everybody. And the 14th track is the Kanye West remix.
Nice. That was the best one.
It was totally the best one. He changed everything.
He did a Kubrick. And he kept nothing from the original. Oh, man. Yeezy up on this. Yeez all, everybody. Yeez all.
Yes.
Oh, Yeez man. Man, where was that when we needed it?
Oh my god, that's hilarious. I we couldn't really make that joke back then. That's
no, yeah. Yeah, right? If you wait long enough, Kanye West will give you joke material.
It appears. It's great. Okay. So let's, I got some business here.
Uh-oh, there's some business, capital B.
If you want to address other stuff, go ahead. I can come back to this, but
let's get the business out of the way.
Okay, so there was a scene that like we kind of talked over, and so I didn't quite catch it, between Ben and Richard.
Okay.
Richard? It seems to be, yes, Richard.
Never heard that before. I was like, Ben and Richard, that's Richard. It's like the worst. Anyone with that name, you do not want to talk to. Yeah. Your next appointment with Richard? Okay, no.
Yeah.
Cancel that
appointment. Yeah, you're going to have to talk to Richard about this one. Is there any other way?
Yeah. Nope, everyone has to go through Bitchard. Oh, God.
That's so ridiculous. Oh, man. No one ever talked about Ben and Richard as a unit. Like,
right?
That never came up before. But that's the natural way to put them together.
You have to have Bitchard.
Obviously. Okay. So, right. So it was when... they flash back to 6 hours ago with the others, and Alex mm-hmm. is skinning a rabbit. Let's see. So Ben and Richard are talking, and Ben says, it's time to get them. And Richard says, but you said tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And Ben says, Jacob wants it to happen now.
Mm-hmm.
Richard says, look what happened out there. Did John see ellipsis? Ben says John had an accident. And then Ryan, and then now they talk about, you know, taking the pregnant women and stuff. That mm-hmm. exchange,
Yeah.
So he's talking to Richard. So, like, before they had kind of an out that Richard wasn't really around when Ben was saying a lot of the stuff he did about Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
He's directly talking to Richard. He says, Jacob wants it to happen now. And then Richard even says, what happened out there? Did John see?
Mm-hmm.
That really makes it sound to me like Richard thinks that Ben met with Jacob at the cabin, mm-hmm. and that Locke might have seen him.
Yeah.
Which he shouldn't think that, right?
No, I think he should think that.
Okay.
Well, because that's the, I mean, from my perspective and understanding from what's going on kind of at this point is that's the, well, okay, there's two ways to look at it. Is Jacob really there or not? And who's really there? If it's Jacob, Man in Black, whatever. But yeah. I think on the surface, Ben has a ruse, right? And part of the ruse is that he can see Jacob and nobody else can, which makes no sense because Richard can see him. But...
And really, anyone can see him. He's not invisible, usually.
He's not invisible. Yeah.
Just not a thing he does.
So I think he wants to ask the question, did John see Jacob?
Yeah. That seems like the obvious interpretation. Even though
now,
I don't believe it, but
now what would it mean if he did or didn't? I don't know. Because this is weirdness is happening here. But I think the fact that John had an accident tells Richard something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a weird little line. I guess John Locke didn't actually see Jacob, but he did hear him.
Right.
Right. So I mean, but I think they're just trying to play up what we saw from the cabin episode.
Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah.
So if we forget about what we know later mm-hmm. and we just think about what we've seen in the show so far,
yeah,
which for this conversation is just the last episode,
mm-hmm.
Then this conversation totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Although, I would say, and I remember sort of being unclear about this at the time, based on what we saw in the last episode, it is possible that Jacob told him that he wanted this thing to happen now, since we didn't hear almost anything he said. But it comes across to me like Ben's lying.
Yeah, I think he's lying. I think he wants it to happen now because he just killed Locke. And he probably is worried that if Locke doesn't come back to the camp, that they're going to be worried and on guard. So he's like, I just killed Locke, which was not part of the plan. So now let's up the timetable.
Right. But I think with what they tell us later, this conversation makes no sense.
This is just Ben lying, I think. Yeah, Jacob wants it to happen now is a lie.
And like Richard, I feel like shouldn't wonder if Locke saw Jacob or not. You know, there shouldn't even be a question about that. You know?
Only if Ben has told people, only I can see Jacob. And at this point of the show, we don't know that Richard has seen Jacob.
That's true. But yeah, I guess I will... It's a very small thing, and they love doing this. There can be these like tiny interchanges that imply stuff, mm-hmm. you know. I do feel like at this point in the story, at the very least, they have not decided who Richard is.
Yeah,
you know, because I think if they did have Richard's like future backstory in mind, like this doesn't make sense. But even at the end of season 5, you know, when Ben is giving his big rant to Jacob, like right before he kills him, he says, I followed your orders, and, you know, you sent me, Richard would come with all those lists, and I kept asking to see you, and I was told to be patient, and I was never allowed to see you, and blah, 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 blah. You know, he's having this whole rant. Seemingly mm-hmm. an honest rant, right? I feel like at that point, Ben's not lying. Mm-hmm. Because it's his genuine emotions that are leading him to want to kill Jacob, right? I mean, it would be weird if he was making up stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Which implied to me that Richard is the sort of go-between, which is what they tell us his story is later, mm-hmm. you know, between the others and Jacob. And if Ben wanted to see Jacob, it would be through Richard. And so if Ben is saying only I talked to Jacob, you know, I mean, Richard should know that's false, at least according to what they say later.
Yeah, but I mean, you could shoehorn some version where that melds the two to where once Ben is in charge, Ben tells Richard, hey, I just talked to Jacob and he said only I get to see him now. And don't bother him. You know, you could. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like that's the only way to kind of make it make sense.
Right.
If the rules changed when Ben got in charge.
But I mean, that line about like, you know, I was told to be patient and I couldn't see you yet or whatever. You know, like he has. I mean, there's supposed to be these times where he's asking to see
Jacob.
That's
a lie, right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's. They change what's going on, so it's hard to make sense. You know, you can't use both sets of rules at each part of the show.
I know. I guess that's what I'm getting at. Like, because I strongly think, and of course, my theory of like what exactly Jacob is supposed to be at this time. I mean, it's really hard to do. It's really like a weird like archaeology project or something, trying to reconstruct something based on these tiny bits mm-hmm. of information. You know. But, like, little conversations like this, like, hint at what they were thinking at the time, but it's really hard to decode because, you know, obviously Ben is a huge liar and a manipulator, and so mm-hmm. anything he says, you have to, you know, and obviously they don't know, you know, Richard's backstory, so it is possible that, like, some of the stuff from later could be true, but Richard's story is the one that changed more. You know, mm-hmm. like, and that forces the Jacob story to change, you know? I don't really know, but I do feel like this is a strong indicator that at the very least the Richard and Jacob relationship is not established at this point.
Yeah, but look at it this way though. I wonder if the amount of time to which Ben was wanting to see Jacob and getting denied, well, maybe that was just really short, right? So maybe like, let's see if I can explain this. Because he basically he says, you know, there's a period of time where Richard is the go-between, mm-hmm. right? And then there's a period of time in this part of the show where Ben is seemingly talking to Jacob, like, if right. that's true.
Right.
So that means at some point, like, yeah, because we don't see Richard giving, like, transmitting any lists on this part of the show, right?
True.
So it could be that just very recently is when Ben wanted to talk to Jacob and it was getting denied.
Right.
Like, he was, like, you know, the bulk of the time Richard was the go-between giving the list. And, well, yeah. And then Ben getting denied. And then at a certain point, Ben's like, fine, I'll go see him myself. Mm-hmm. And then starts lying about seeing him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I guess that's possible. And if Richard doesn't meet with Jacob for a while to talk to him about it, which I would presume he doesn't meet with him that often.
Yeah.
Then yeah, I guess it's possible that he could just say that and still not, you know, still know that he's not actually meeting with him. So he can still be bitter about it later. But
and that, you know, they could go towards, you know, meeting up the cabin and Ben's like, well, I'll go put some ash around the cabin and I'll say I'm meeting Jacob here. Even though, you know, Richard knows, well, Jacob's at the statue, but okay, fine. If he's meeting Ben there, he's fine. And Ben creating this lore about that's Jacob's cabin and that's where he meets him.
I guess my frustration with that, even though that totally makes sense, is just, I mean, maybe it's just the storyline in general that there's this big motivator for Ben. And, like, the weird thing is that the show spins it later, you know, after, you know, in season six, it makes it that, you know, he killed Jacob more because of Alex, you know, that's kind of the way they go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was bitter that Alex, like, he let Alex die for Jacob in some way, and that's why he was angry. It's a little, I never quite, I mean, I get it, but what he really says in that scene is, like, he was pissed off that he never got to see Jacob, and he's also pissed off that Jacob seems to prefer Locke to him,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is fine. And the Locke thing, you know, he's just wrong about. He doesn't really understand what's going on with Locke in that scene.
Yeah.
But the other thing, like, it's kind of all off screen, you know? We never actually get to see Ben's frustration with not being able to see Jacob. And I guess the problem is they don't reveal that he can't see Jacob until, mm-hmm. you know, until like a few episodes before he's going to kill him.
Yeah.
So the whole time, like, he's pretending to see him. That's all we get to see. We never get to see him being frustrated that he can't see him.
Yeah.
But then it's supposed to be a huge motivator for him. I guess it doesn't play as well for me that it's so hidden, this story.
Well, I think the motivation comes towards the end, right? When it's like, after all this time and you still never talk to me. You know, I think he was motivated by other things for the bulk of his time on the island. But, you know, at the point at which, you know, he becomes leader of the others, he does the purge, he's, you know, trying to solve the pregnancy. He's doing, you know, half, I think, what he thinks Jacob wants and half what he wants. More like probably 10%, 90%. But, and then once Locke becomes the leader of the others, I think that's probably when Ben's like, okay, I've done all this work and you've never acknowledged me. You know, like, I think before that time, I think Jacob could have still stepped in and patted Ben on the head and been fine. But mm-hmm. I think that was a point of no return where, okay, now Locke's in charge and he gets to demand to see you. And I mm-hmm. never got to, you know, like that, you know. So I don't think it was like a motivation this whole time. But, you know, at that point, he can look back and have it fuel his motivation because it was so long that he never got to talk to him.
Right, right. Well, but the tragic thing about that is, A, it's not even Locke. Mm-hmm. B, Locke being leader of the others, like, a lot of the reason why that becomes possible is also, you know, the Man in Black's manipulations.
Mm-hmm.
He sends him on the time traveling thing. He's the one that Locke actually meets with in the cabin. And so when Locke says, Jacob sent me, he means Man in Black.
Yeah, it's weird that Ben's complaining that Jacob never paid any attention to him, but it's like, but you got a lot of attention from Man in Black.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Tons.
Here's a deity that wants to talk to you, buddy. Like,
he's all over you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, in a way, like, Locke could complain just as much as Ben that Jacob doesn't pay attention to him.
Yep.
You know? I mean, Jacob does go to him once to touch him, to draw him to the island, but he does not, you know, interact with him at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's sort of like if Ben really knew, he really wouldn't need to be jealous of Locke about that, you know?
Yeah, and that's what makes all that part of the show when he kills Jacob weird. It's the motivation's all over the place, and he's wrong about the situation, and Jacob doesn't even care. And, like, there's so much weirdness with that whole turn.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Yeah.
It's a mess. And this scene is just, like, adding to it for me. It's just like, I can't even believe they're having this conversation.
Well, and here's the thing, though. Like, even the John C. Like, it's, you know, you could split hairs and say, is he saying that was John able to visibly see Jacob, or is he just saying, you know, did Jacob show up?
Right.
You know, because the weird thing is that Ben decided to take somebody to see Jacob.
Right.
Which has never happened before.
Right.
You know, so it makes sense that Richard asks about it, but it calls into question the whole. Who, if he's visible and what that means.
Mm-hmm.
It's really strange because, like, Jacob doesn't really, we don't really see him later. Even Man in Black, I mean, if he's there, he's there. Like, you know, there's no, I only appear to, you know, it's like Hurley and the Ghosts.
Yeah.
You know, where he's the only one who can see them.
Yeah. I mean, the Man in Black can transform himself into other people and, like, animals sometimes, I guess. And so, like, I can kind of buy that he could maybe make himself invisible, or, like, he's floating, you know, he's a fly or something, you know, like some weird.
Well, but that's different than being in a human form, but only certain people seeing that form.
Yeah, you're right.
There's hiding, but then there's, like, okay, he's a person. But you know, only certain people can actually see him. You know, every time when if he's a person, everybody can see him.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I don't think it's totally consistent. Of course, a lot of the Man in Black's, you know, qualities or whatever are developed later.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if they wanted to, they could have said he can make himself invisible.
Yeah.
You know, they just didn't really portray that. Because he can be at two places at once, I think, maybe. He's got the telekinesis, which, you know, that sort of works with what happens in the cabin. The cabin moving is kind of a crazy thing.
What's two places at once?
So, there is some debate about this, but I believe he's in two places at once in season 5. He's Christian in the barracks. He meets, like, Sun and whoever else is with her to tell him, like, they have a long journey ahead of them and to wait for Locke. And he's also Locke over on the Hydra Island, you know, collecting Ben and preparing to come over to meet them there.
But if he could swim across the water, why wouldn't he just do that?
Right. But I, So I actually don't know for sure because I haven't actually analyzed it in detail as far as like how the timelines work. I know there were it was said that like because of the way the events line up, like he would have had to be in two places at once for that to work.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on Hydra Island, right? We saw him there, and when he's Locke, he's pretty much visible to people, you know, the whole time he's there, right? Yeah. And he leaves, he comes to the island with Ben, and they go to the barracks to summon the smoke monster, quote unquote. And that's where they meet Sun and so on. So, like, you know, unless the Christian thing happened, like, before he even appeared on Hydra Island, then he would have had to be both, I think.
Yeah, I remember that being weird. Well, we'll get back to it.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, he has some of those, like, crazy powers that they kind of imply and maybe are not even there, you know. And that's sort of what it feels like to me. But I guess ultimately it feels to me like that's not the smoke monster.
Yeah.
That's whatever that thing is a different thing that they didn't really flesh out.
Yeah.
The eye and that imagery of the guy in the chair, something there was some idea there that they either abandoned or it morphed into something else. You know, it is seemingly worth noting to me that in season 4, when Hurley sees the cabin, which is coming up, it's Christian in the chair that time.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's signaling part of the morphing of that idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how it kind of changes into Christian being in there. And once Christian, you know, and Christian being Smoke Monster at this point in the story does make sense, I think.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, invisible prop master guy who says, help me, you know, not as much.
Help me with the props.
And, you know, Ben doesn't even mention that. You know, if he really thinks that, and I believe that he really thinks that was Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Then it should be important, his message, right, to Locke? Like, he told Locke, help me? Like, but I guess he doesn't want to tell Richard that because he tried to kill Locke, or, you
yeah,
know?
And I think he doesn't, it's like, it's really strange where it's like, Ben is following Jacob, but he doesn't, but when Jacob tells Locke, help me, Ben's like, no, I'm not going to let him help you, I'm going to kill him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, that can't be what Jacob wanted.
Yeah. Well, I hope he helps you. Yeah, it's weird. He's totally devoted to Jacob, but he's like, screw what Jacob said.
Yeah.
I'm killing you. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's really weird.
It's really weird.
It's really weird. How that makes any sense. Yeah, and then what is he going to tell? Oops, sorry, Jacob. Locke just fell in a hole. I don't know what happened. What was about that help you needed? I can help you.
Exactly. I think with what's in the show, it's borderline impossible to, like, fully understand what they were thinking at this time or, you know, going forward with the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at what point, what things are in place, you know, it's probably just down to them saying it at this point.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the only way we'll ever find out for sure. Because of their way of writing, you know, and I feel like their way of writing really saves them a lot with storylines like this, because they write things in such a way, you know, that a lot of what happens is dependent on the interpretation of the characters. It's dependent on the characters manipulating each other and lying, and a lot of what they show is deliberately vague.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when you write in that style, it's really easy for an idea to morph into something else than what you started with, you know, and, like, with relatively little backlash, you know.
There's the because you don't have to retcon a lot because you didn't specify anything, so.
Yeah, exactly. Like that commentary line where Damon's like, you know, Jacob has some powers over Ben, and Ben has some powers over Jacob. Like that idea, not in the show. Yeah. You know, if they had, you know, but I have powers over you, Jacob. You know, if Ben said that, it would change it, you know?
Yeah.
It would make it official. It would turn it into like, well, why the fuck did he say I have powers over you?
Well, and that calls into question, you know, did Ben trap Jacob in the cabin? Mm-hmm. And that's who said, help me.
Help me.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And... although later, I believe the retcon answer is that the ash line is already broken.
Mm-hmm.
The ash line that we see in Man Behind the Curtain is not broken.
Yeah.
And so I definitely think that is a way they could have gone with the story, with what they showed. The idea that Ben trapped him in there, the ash is keeping him in.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him doing that.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, obviously it's weird to even think about because it doesn't make any sense with what they do later.
Yeah.
But yeah, so far they could have gone down that road if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing with Ben, you know, and Ben's the perfect character to like change gears on because he's so.
Yes.
He's like you can never trust anything he says, and he always seems like he knows stuff, you know. Yep. And so you can have him know stuff or not.
Yep. He could just be lying. He'd be telling the truth. You never really know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't know to trust him or not. Yep.
And that's why, you know, he started off as like a one-off, like 3-episode character. Mm-hmm. And then he turns into the leader of the others, you know. And then like that whole thing, it works just fine because the way they play him is so... open to various possibilities.
Yeah.
You know, you can put a character like that in anywhere because those definitive statements are just not... you know, how can he make definitive statements? I mean, anything he says could be a lie.
Yeah.
Or some kind of manipulation.
Yeah, it's a great character to have at your disposal because he can tell something, you know, he can start things, he can instigate things. Mm-hmm. He can tell you stuff, but it doesn't have to be true later.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so I think that's how they navigate that without like any huge glaring contradictions, you know, cause even this scene, like I'm zeroing in on this. It's like 5 lines. And really, if they wanted to, they can wiggle out of this scene.
Yeah.
It's not ironclad. I think it hints at something, but it's not, you know, did John see? That is not a definitive statement.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't say, did John see the invisible Jacob? Like, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's, he could, who knows what he's going to say? I mean, I know what I think he was going to say, but that's me.
Yeah.
You know, that's my problem. Like, they don't have to, you know, they don't have to address my problems.
Nope. but they're responsible for your problems. That's the fun part.
True.
They create the problem, but it's like they set fire to something and then just step back and they're like, well, yeah, it's not our problem to put it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, you choose how you react to this fire.
Exactly. Hey, if you think that fire is an emergency, that's on you. Hey, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it really is something that, I mean, maybe they, like, I know there are some people, like David Lynch or something, who just publicly will never say anything about their creative process, like mm-hmm. how they think of things, how storylines develop, how ideas, you know, come to them, and how they flesh them out, and sort of what they mean, and stuff, like, there are people like that, you know. I mean, Damon and Carlton, you know, I mean, they were pretty public. They had a podcast. They interacted with fans. They talked about the show a lot, you know. But I wonder if they, you know, they're kind of hesitant to, like, pull back the curtain too much mm-hmm. and really get into the meat of, like, here's some stuff we totally abandoned, you know, because they really don't talk about that stuff a lot. You know, most of the things I've heard along those lines have been from other, you know, writers on the staff that, you know, that left the show later, where they've said like, oh yeah, it was totally this, you know, and then we changed it later. And like, but Damon and Carlton never say that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so I wonder if we tried to ask them about it, if they would like just not want to talk about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. My thought would be so much time has passed that if prodded, they would just say certain things, but it's an interesting question. I don't know if,
that would be my hope, like enough distance from it, they could just, you know, let go.
Yeah. We're the ones who are telling them they need to let go.
yeah. Exactly. How do you like it?
Hey guys, you know, we just want to say after doing 200 podcasts that it's come to our attention you need to let this go.
We really think you need to let go.
Yeah, you need to let go, guys.
And the way you need to let go is by telling us what we want to do.
Yeah, exactly. You let go by helping us let go. And we all let go together. Yeah.
Yes, I do realize that's completely a cheat. But you know, I obviously it's me who needs to let go, but it's really hard to let go, and I mean this podcast makes that clear.
Yeah,
I can't get over that. It's like five lines and I'm like oh god, I gotta talk about this shit.
Yeah, it took 2 hours on five lines.
Yeah. So we had a whole episode and I zero in, and really they're kind of filler throwaway lines, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's really just like a little bit of minor exposition to bridge the gap from the man behind the curtain, you know?
Yeah.
The reaction to Ben coming back without Locke.
Yep.
You know, that's really all that's about.
And it's weird, though, because, like, and I'm totally taking the bait now, because it's like, he says John had an accident, but it's like, why didn't he just say John went back to his people or something?
Yeah.
Or like, or John's not with us anymore. It's weird that he almost basically says, I kill all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, because I feel like that's the obvious, like, euphemism, you know?
Or even lie more and say, Jacob said he's not worthy or something.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, if Jacob wants them to go take the pregnant women, why not? Jacob said Locke is not our true leader.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not? Yeah, let's talk an hour about that. I don't know. It's so weird. It's such an easy. If you're gonna lie,
if you're just gonna make up shit that Jacob said, yeah.
Yeah. Why not say we shouldn't trust him ever again? Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of like, what harm could that do at this point? That like lying about other stuff, Jacob.
Well, yeah. It's like now it's weird he didn't say that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. It's like, well, if you're gonna invoke Jacob, like, you know, do it for real.
Yeah. I mean, that really should be covering his tracks. He shoots Locke, tries to kill him, and then he'll just tell the others that Jacob said he wasn't worthy, and Locke is back with his people or something. Like he's back with the Losties. Like.
Yeah, why not? I don't think anyone would be in a position to contradict him at this point. So, you're right. It never bothered me that he didn't say that, but I was mad about what he did say. But it's like,
now you're mad about what he didn't say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He should have said that. He should have said that. John had an accident. Like that's what he's gonna say, and then move on. Like it's weird. It's like
I think the only way to say only reason to say John had an accident is to put a thin veil on. John got in my way.
Yeah, totally.
But why do that to Richard?
Yeah.
It's a weird thing to, instead of just saying, you know, the other thing of like, he's no longer around. It's fine.
Yeah, it seems like he should know that he needs, like, a little more justification. I mean, supposedly, according to the brig, like, the others were waiting for Locke, and, you know, like, he had to kill his father to prove that he was their real leader. Jeez. Or something.
I feel like you should cut to, like, that scene where Anthony Cooper's on the pylon in that field, and all the others are sitting around, and you cut to some wretched others, and they're like, what are we doing? And the guy's like, I don't know. I think we're getting a new leader or something. Like, I don't really get it. Like, I was watching TV back at the barracks yesterday, and now we're out in the field, and there's some guy tied to a pylon, and this bald guy shows up, and I don't know, he and Richard are talking. Like, I feel like the inner life of the others is rich with that kind of, like, what's going on now?
Yeah.
Cindy's like, I don't know, I guess we're here to watch again.
That's what I'm always here always, to do.
We're always watching.
Just here to watch.
Yeah.
No, that is absolutely what is going on with them. I wouldn't have thought that at the time, but that's clearly true.
And that's a big reason why the others fail, I think, in the long run.
Yeah. Here.
I almost feel like you can't think of another example. You'd be hard pressed to think of another example of a group of people who are following an ideology and actually don't really care.
Yeah.
Unless you're talking about American politics.
Oh!
Ooh, zing!
Ouch. Oh, it hurts. It stings on the lowdown today. Oh. Damn.
Take that, Democrats and Republicans.
Wow.
You know, people come here for the hard-hitting social commentary.
They do. That's what we're known for.
I thought I'd give them some of that. but no, it's just, I think that's the strangest thing about the others is you really want to be bought into all the stuff they're doing in seasons one and two. But mm-hmm. by the time you get to season three, you realize, and we still will come to realize the extent of this further.
Even more so.
It's just that they don't know what's going on. They're just sheep. They're just being shepherded from one crazy mm-hmm. action to another.
Yeah.
And they're not really bought in. They don't know what Jacob is. They don't really understand it. They don't know why they should be protecting the island. They don't even know. I don't even think they know that what there is to protect. And it's so strange to have so many, to have a whole group of people, and there's really only two or three members of that group that are really doing anything worthwhile, and everybody else is just along for the ride. And I feel like you no one would design a characters that way, but organically, that's just what they came to be.
Right.
You know, because of facts like Jacob's hands off, because the island is so mysterious that you probably won't understand or even see the crazy stuff to even be bought into the fact, you know, the idea that it should be protected. And
right.
So all these, you know, the leader is just the leader because he took power. Not
right.
that there's no like political structure for leadership. So it can just be whoever wants to be the leaders. You know what I mean? So if you don't have that structure, then that means that people aren't really bought into the, you know. So it's just like all these things make them that way. And, you know, it's a bad recipe that can't be changed.
Yeah, it kind of makes me think that, in a way, a lot of the Lost characters, you know more than many of the others.
Yeah.
You know, and in a way, the Lost characters have more sensible reactions to things. It's sort of like, aside from, like, you know, food and shelter and book clubs, like, why do the others even stay there?
Yeah.
You know, like, what is the big attraction? You know, it's not really clear.
Yeah, like the old lady who needed her plumbing fixed.
Yeah. Yeah, what the fuck is she doing there? Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah, and it's like, we're here to protect protect from what am I going to protect? Like, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
It really doesn't. And what are we protecting exactly? Like, it's, how many of them have the slightest clue?
And it's not like they're training all day long as a standing army for the island to protect it.
Right.
You know, so it's like, well, what does protect even mean? It means when people show up, we randomly kill them or...
Yeah.
You know, we kidnap some of them and take some of them, and Yeah, it's really strange. The whole concept doesn't quite work.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess. And, you know, on the surface, if you throw out the details, like, I mean, I like the idea of, you know, this group that is, you know, they live on the island. They serve the island's protector, and, you know, they have access to all these crazy things, and they, you know, they just kind of, you know, do all this stuff blindly in, like, sort of a religious way. Like, that's mm-hmm. kind of the idea they're going for with them.
Yeah.
But I guess the weird thing about that is, like, they have this all-encompassing, this powerful religious zeal that makes them follow this character that they never see to do all these crazy things all the time. And yet, it seems as though they're not really that into it.
Yeah, and I feel like they've never been convinced, you know. I almost think there's probably some version of the show early on where, like, in order to become an other, you have to be judged by Smokey. And then if you pass the test, then you can become an other. And then, you know, but by passing the test and seeing the smoke monster, that convinces you that something interesting is going on the island. And that convinces you of the power of Jacob if this smoke monster is part of Jacob's whole, you know, hierarchy of things.
Oh, man.
Did I just blow your mind?
You just blew my mind. That actually makes a lot of sense. You know, I never thought of that. That's so logical, because that's something that's bothered me a lot. You know, the idea that Ben comes back and he's like, I need to be judged by the smoke monster. Mm-hmm. You know, like, huh? Like, who told you that? Like, what?
Is that your Jewish grandmother? Huh?
Yeah, it's like, it always bothered me. And Ben's summoning chamber for the smoke monster.
Yeah.
And, you know, the judgment and the idea that they take good people.
Yeah.
You know? Like, all that fits together pretty well, actually. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think that, yeah, that seems like a story they totally could have gone with. That before you join the others, the smoke monster will judge you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't pass, then you don't get any others, and therefore, yeah, once you join, you've seen some crazy shit.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that's part of what will motivate you to deal with these crazy people and, you know, these strange situations. Like, you know, there's something to all this.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, that's really interesting. I almost want to feel like that's an idea they had, and they just didn't go with it, for obvious reasons, because of what the smoke monster turned out to be.
Yeah, I'm writing that down as a question, if that was Smokey's original function as a way to judge good and bad people.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I'll throw that in as a, I want to throw that in as a little side story. No, what am I trying to say? I want to attach that to my theory that Jacob, the original version of Jacob, the leader of the others, for him, the smoke monster was some kind of servant or sidekick or something. Because I really think that's what they were trying to portray.
Mm-hmm.
With Christian in the cabin, with the eye of Jacob, you know?
Yeah.
And even speaking for him, even as late as that, I think it's still possible. Obviously, into season 5, it's not possible anymore. But if the smoke monster served Jacob, it would totally make sense that he would judge the others.
Yeah.
You know, among probably other things. And I also could put in the fence, the Dharma fence, since they were at war with the others.
Oh, yeah.
You know, keeping out Smokey, you know, if Smokey is, you know, in a way, like, connected with the others, then, like, I could see that even being tied in.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? I guess I never took that far. I always imagined Smokey working for Jacob, but I didn't think about what that means for the others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good question. Wow. Wow. I'm just constantly blown away.
It's great, but it's also disconcerting that we keep coming up with stuff that's like, man, maybe it's that, and it just like reinvigorates this crazy passion.
True.
Yeah, no, I mean that's what's, and I get, you know, I think that's part of the intriguing part of the show is
oh, definitely.
It's this puzzle you get to put together yourself, and it's like, it's hard to put together for various reasons, and part of the reason is like the pieces are missing, and right. The pieces are mangled, and
they changed over
and
time.
They intentionally gave you bad pieces that don't fit this puzzle, and so when you can make something out of what's there, it is really gratifying if you can make some sort of picture. But yeah, no, I was just thinking along the lines of like, it just doesn't make any sense to design the others the way they get presented over the course of the show. And it's like, well, you wouldn't design them that way.
Yeah.
You'd start step by step. And the first step should be, how are these people bought into the ideology that the central ideology that the island needs to be protected? You know, Jacob is protector of the island, and he needs people to help him protect it. And what does that really mean? And how do you decide who these people are? And how do they know they should do this besides being told? And it's like, yeah, if you have Smokey around and he's judging people, then they should be using him, to judge who's good and bad. And you can kind of go from there, and it's like, but yeah, that's anyway. That the larger point was that the others just kind of fail, much like the, I think on a micro level, the pregnancy storyline fails.
Yeah.
I think on a macro level, the others as a group just fails.
Yeah.
And
some good characters in it.
Some good characters and some good moments throughout the show.
Yeah.
But just
overall,
like
overall, definitely a flop.
Yeah, it just does not work.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when at the end they don't know why they die, they don't know what they're dying for at the end of everything, you know?
Yeah.
And they're just willing to, like, follow their leader's arch nemesis.
Yeah.
You know?
And their old leader is just firing artillery at them.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. With forcing Joy to blow them up. Jacob's MIA. Smoke,
yep.
Like, Man in Black's like, follow me. They're like, I guess we will. You're the only one not trying to actively kill us here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, I feel like, I mean, this sort of thing would be weird, but, you know, like on Star Trek, they had that Next Generation. They had that episode where they followed the cadets, you know?
Yeah.
And so we got to see sort of the view of the Enterprise from the point of view of people who aren't the high-ranking officers that are most of the main characters.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I didn't deeply love that episode, but it was kind of an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Like, we don't really... it probably would be too much of a digression to have like an episode where we see what it's like to be recruited into the others.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like it should have been portrayed somehow. And I know Juliet's situation had like a specific purpose. And so like, it kind of makes sense that she wasn't recruited, you know, in the normal way, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And that like maybe subjecting her to judgment would be not like, they want her to help with the thing. They don't want her to maybe fail some fucking, you know, test. And then, you know, what are they going to do about
this? And just to put a bookmark on that thought, though, like, that's all Ben, right?
It's all Ben.
Smokey wouldn't, I mean, even if Smokey was supposed to judge the good and bad people that who can get into the others, like, that's not why they want Juliet, like,
right.
Yeah, so it wouldn't even apply.
That's kind of what I was saying, but I did still wish that, you know, because Ben does invoke Jacob to her multiple times, and obviously most notably saying that, you know, Jacob's gonna save your sister.
Yeah.
I did always wish that we saw sort of some portrayal of like how Jacob was introduced to her, like what she thought about it, like what did she actually see, you know, sort of how that works. I feel like that would give us some idea of how the other one sort of broke into this game.
And I think what's strange from Juliet's perspective is, like, by the time we meet her, she's ready to leave the island.
Yeah.
She's not bought in. Even Jacob healing her sister, she's not bought into, like, I need to protect the island. She's like, Ben's crazy, and we want to leave, and he won't let us. And leaving is something we should be able to do. You know, she's not even thinking, like, Ben's crazy, he won't let us leave, but that's okay because Jacob doesn't want us to leave, so we should stay. Like, she's not even bought into it.
Yeah.
Which is, like, why not?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, that's a huge thing, right?
Like,
that's...
She's willing to betray the others to help the Losties so they can leave the island.
Right.
You know? And so, like, how much can she believe in Jacob then?
Very little, apparently. Yeah, no, that's a good point. That's a good point. Because basically what happened, I mean, she didn't see it, and she didn't meet Jacob, so I think those things do make a difference. But, I mean, what happened with her sister is very close to what happened with Dogen, you know? Yeah. And he abandons his whole life to go serve Jacob on the island because of that.
Yeah.
You know, and like, that's just such a huge difference from what Juliet does, who I think never even gives a second thought to Jacob, seemingly, for the rest of the series. You know, once she leaves the others, it doesn't seem to me that she cares about Jacob.
Well, you know? Dogen had proof Jacob was real.
True.
She only has hearsay.
Right.
I would actually like to know if she really believes her sister was saved, or if at some point after she sees the video of her sister apparently alive, at some point does she just say, maybe Ben tricked me or something.
Right.
You know, because it just seems like she loses that motivation.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, for all she knows, Jacob could make her sister sick again if she leaves, but that doesn't ever seem to be a concern. Right.
Yeah, she's not worried about that at all. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, it is ambiguous whether or not Jacob actually saved her sister, and it's highly possible that he didn't.
Yeah.
Obviously. But what's weird about it, and I guess this is Lost, what are you going to do, is that that is the kind of thing Jacob could do.
Yeah.
It's a story that they tell with almost the same idea later, and it really did happen, you know? And so it's weird to use as manipulation a story that, like, really could be true. But I guess maybe that's...
Isn't that the best manipulation?
Why it works, yeah. Yeah, no, totally.
Yeah. That's like when you're trying to trick somebody, you know, and you show them, hey, here's a piece of gold I found on a gold mine. Don't you want to buy it from me? And, you know, you show them a piece of gold that's real, and that convinces them your land has gold, but there's no gold there.
Right. Yeah, no, I get it. It's just, as an audience member, it can be frustrating, because it's like, I don't even know what to make of it. So maybe I feel the same way as Juliet. Like, well, you know, there's no sense, like, assuming that there's some strange deity that might give my sister cancer. Like, it's more pragmatic and reasonable to just try to get away from these crazy people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and realistically, that's probably how I would act, too, in that situation. Because, I would not be hanging around with the kind of nonsense they have to put up with. I mean, for me, like, once they tie up an old guy and they're like, here, cut this guy's throat, like, to prove you're our leader, like, I'm like, this is it, guys. I'm out. This is not my scene. I'm sorry.
You know, from what we know from the others, you know, that's basically the first time that's happened.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you see it, you don't necessarily know that, but it's like, this isn't something they do all the time.
Not at all. No, that is not a regular, like, Sunday morning for them.
Cindy's like, I didn't come here to watch this.
Yeah.
Cindy, you're always watching.
And yet they don't seem really concerned. Did you see the little screen they have over the Blu-ray, like the background? You see, it's like it's Anthony Cooper tied up, and then the background, the others are just like casually camping, like Like, it's yeah. the most normal thing.
Like, should we help that guy? he's gonna be murdered.
No one seems concerned at all. They're just yeah. hanging out in the background, tending to fires. They're, like, walking well, inside tents. Well, and what's
weird is, you know, we think that this is an other's altar or something.
Yeah.
And we think this is a place that they do this. True. And, but it's like, no, the only reason that they're here is because the Losties found the barracks, so yeah. they decided to leave. Yeah. This temple, I mean, this ruin, this, you know, these are ruins from the Egyptians or something.
Yeah.
It's really just like,
old thing.
Yeah, and it's like, this has nothing to do with the others, and it's so
the strange. Others aren't even that old. I mean, they haven't been around that long. Yeah. They couldn't possibly have built this thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah, and it's so strange to, you know, when you're watching the show the first time through, to look at all these elements and be wrong about all your assumptions.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I do feel like they invite you to make those assumptions, but they do blame you for them later.
Yeah, it's your fault.
Because it was an assumption, and you can't really deny that it was an assumption, but yeah. it's like...
You thought those people built those 2,000-year-old stone obelisks that they tied Cooper to? Yeah. Why would you think that? Like... You're right. Why would I think that? I don't know.
Fair enough.
Because the first time we saw them, they were with the others. Yeah, so what?
But, you know, like, a lot of storytelling is built on the audience making assumptions.
Yeah, and that's where Lost is different from other shows, is, like, they're using
the
assumptions
against you. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Because they know you're going to make certain assumptions. They lead you to make those assumptions.
Yeah.
They go, oh, why did you make those? Why did you think that?
Yeah, they draw your attention to it. Whereas usually the point of having you make assumptions is because they want you to think those things are true.
Yeah.
Like, that's why they do that. They're leading you in that direction. Because not because they want you to realize that you made an assumption and that it could be wrong,
yeah,
but because they're trying to convey information to you so you understand their plot.
Yeah, and making the assumptions is part of what you need to do to understand the story and to go faster, so they don't have to
spell
out every single thing. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess I never really realized before Lost, like, how... You know, how critical that is for pretty much any story. There are always moments where you as an audience have to make assumptions about what the characters are thinking, about things that happen off screen, about, you know, any number of, like, connections, you know, what certain characters, you know, mean when they say certain things. Like, there's tons of that built into any story. But it is true that rarely do they... make that like a focal point of the presentation, that the audience has to, like, turn that on themselves and realize that they're doing that. And also the characters in the show themselves are doing that. And so we are all caught in this web of assumptions.
Yeah.
And
Web of Assumptions was the original title for Lost.
Yeah, exactly. Some of them might be true, and some of them might not be, and most of them we'll never even know.
Yeah.
And, like, thank you, good night. Like, that's life. Yeah,
there it is. There's your show.
It's really weird. It's really weird. But this little thing that they took the time to film, like, quite a bit of, really makes it look like the others are pretty not fazed by this situation of Anthony Cooper.
Well, and then they're about to go murder, they're about to go storm the Losties and, like, kidnap people, and it's like, we don't know what they're capable of, and... What's strange is just to know that they're just being dictated to by Ben. They're not necessarily wanting to do this stuff or even knowing why they're going to do it. And by the way, why would the others want the pregnant women?
Test something? I have no idea. It's weird. They don't say it. It kind of seems like Ben is just unhinged. Mm-hmm. And even he doesn't even know why he wants them. He's just like, take them all, take every woman that's there, and we'll figure out if they're pregnant. If they're not pregnant, we'll get them pregnant. And then we'll have a lot of pregnant women.
So it's like, okay, they're going to leave the barracks. He's like, okay, hey, Juliet, we're going to leave the barracks because they found our location that's not safe for us here. You will leave you behind. You pretend you're defecting, but you're really going to be a spy. You go and figure out who's pregnant. Then you mark the tent of the pregnant women. Then we're going to come and take the pregnant women and what now?
Don't say and. That was it. That was the end. Jeez. Like, why do you need an extra?
Like Juliet already had a whole thing, right? She already told Ben, like, it's useless, it's hopeless, we can't do anything.
Yeah.
And I feel like they didn't find out any new information. Like, didn't they confirm that, like, yeah, that was the whole point in data conception, right? Like, she conceived off the island, right?
Son,
yeah.
No. She conceived on the island. That was the point.
Oh, that's right. She conceived on the island.
With Jen, yeah.
Oh, I was thinking the fertility thing meant it was off the island. No, okay.
It's odd, because it made Jen's, like,
sperm count
get higher.
That's right. So her being pregnant, but that is, okay, yeah, that's my point is, like, they haven't found out any new information, right?
Right.
That's going to give them any ideas of how to fix this. So even her conceiving on the island doesn't mean anything.
Right.
That wasn't their problem. My point is, like, between the point at which Juliet's like, I want to go home, we can't solve this problem, Ben says no, up until the point where he's like, go find more pregnant women, what has changed that she's going to do anything different with, you know?
Right.
You know, or at least from his perspective, because she has an excuse of saying, well, I think he's crazy. Nothing's changed. That's why I'm defecting.
Right.
Because he's crazy. But I'm like, from his perspective, like, yeah, what does he actually want? Like, more test subjects for, you know? And then what are you going to do? You're going to kidnap women, pregnant women, and you don't think the Lossies are going to come after you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not going to spend the rest of their time trying to find you guys?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he even, it was even worse. He was just like, take all the women.
Take them all.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, because Richard's like, moving at this schedule, Juliet may not be ready. What if she hasn't had time to? And take all their women and we'll sort out the ones we need later.
Yeah. Wow.
And if the men get in your way, kill them. And it's just like, it just seems like he's lost it about this pregnancy thing, which is really hard for me to believe because I don't think he gives it a second thought after this season's over.
Yeah.
He's not, when he's like sitting, you know, in the barracks with Locke and in season 4, I don't think he's sitting there like worrying about the pregnant women.
I think they needed for Ben to say, Jacob wants me to solve this problem. That's the big thing missing to me, is like he's so obsessed about it. And we know he's obsessed because of his backstory and how his mom died. But in terms of like when they're in this situation and it's like, I'm going to go above and beyond. I'm going to take all their women. If their men get in the way, we're going to kill them. It's like he should only be doing that if he thinks that's what Jacob wants.
Yeah.
And if he thinks that, why does he think that?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, and obviously, they don't tell us. It kind of seems like it's just him.
Yeah.
And yet, since he drops it after this, it's like he reaches this fever pitch of like, I'll do anything to get all the women here now.
Yeah.
To like, I don't think he says word one about it after this season.
I think he doesn't care about the others anymore after this season.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Even when he comes back to the island, he's not trying to protect the others.
I guess in a sense, like, at this point, he's, like, about to break up with the others.
Yeah. They're going to go their separate ways.
And that's, once he leaves them, he never really goes back to them.
It's like Whitmore.
Yeah.
What is about the leader of the others where once they break up, they don't care anymore?
That's it. They're done. Fuck them forever.
Yeah.
I'm done with you people.
Somebody else's problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Good riddance.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird. So it should have been more defined, the motivation, and also why. Why now? What's the urgency? Like, mm-hmm. What exactly are they trying to accomplish? Like, that should be defined definitely. And I just also think, I mean, I understand, you know, the season turns and the plot is progressing and they don't want to just talk about pregnant women forever. But I do feel like they owe us, like, if they're going to make it a major plot line for, like, the entire season and then end. But you know what? They did it with the... with the Swan Station too, it's I guess it's just their way. They just kind of they're done with it, and they yeah. and they just don't feel the need to really talk about it anymore.
Well, the problem is they can blow up the Swan Station and not talk about it. They're not gonna blow up the pregnant women.
They can't blow up the pregnant women. Yeah.
So so it's like the issue is still around. They just don't talk about it, so it's a little bit different, you know.
Yeah, it's a good point. But yeah, I think there's like a huge missing piece there.
Yeah.
That would, if they really want me to care about this storyline, you know, because otherwise it kind of feels like manufactured drama. Like, we need a reason for the others and the Losties to have, you know, a violent confrontation.
Yeah.
And we'll just go with this.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
That's what it kind of seems like, and so it's hard to get invested in a plot line on that level.
Yeah.
I do kind of feel like Price and his team, which, if I remember correctly, includes the sheriff, according to David and Carlton. Although we will never see her on screen, she is supposedly she's with them.
Okay.
I get the sense that they're kind of like a security team or something, you know what I mean? Like they do like this dirty work.
Yeah.
And then like a lot of those others, you know, that you see in the background of this thing on the Blu-ray, for example, like, you know, wouldn't be going on missions like that.
Yeah, they're the grunts. They do the chores and like, you know, move stuff when they're moving
Exactly. Carry firewood and...
Yeah, exactly.
I think Zach and Emma are in the background here somewhere.
Nice.
Pretty sure I saw them walk by. Yeah, exactly. More just like, you know, basic, your average everyday other.
So what ends up happening with Zach and Emma?
I guess their fate, like they might have been killed by Widmore. I think that might be what happened because they're with the others and with Cindy.
Yeah.
When Widmore starts shelling them. So, I mean, they don't show what happens to them. So, I mean, the most likely thing seems like they got killed by Widmore's
hunter. Wow.
Which is fucking ridiculous. What a story.
Right? Yeah.
We wanted to give them a better life.
Oh, well, okay. According to the Lost Encyclopedia, Cindy, Zach, and Emma survived the mortar attack from Widmore's team and continued living on the island under Hurley's reign.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Is that from the encyclopedia or something?
This is quote... it says it's from the encyclopedia.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I forgot the encyclopedia said that. Okay. Fine. They didn't want to say they just died in the attack, because that would be pretty shitty.
Yeah.
But so they lived on the island. Ugh, okay, fine.
Some members survived and scattered into the jungle, and I guess it was them. All right.
Yeah. All right. If they want to say that. We didn't see any of them, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? That was basically David and Carlton blowing up the others.
Yes.
Like, we weren't going to talk about the others anymore after that. Even if some of them lived.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Anything else on
This was all about Great. No, it was prompted by a scene in Greatest Hits. In fact,
there was one scene that we talked about for 3 hours.
And the others and the pregnant women, I mean, that's all very relevant.
I mean, we're wrapping up season 3, so it makes sense to talk about it.
Exactly. Exactly. We'll move into a bit of a higher gear in the next episode. Hopefully, this episode wasn't the worst. It like it actually felt more balanced. It sort of reminded me of The Whole Truth, where I remembered it being like only about Charlie, but actually there's a lot of other stuff in this episode.
Yeah.
That gives it, and Charlie's flashback had some variety to it, and so really it was not spectacular, but very functional episode, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Gets everything in order, gets all the groups headed where they're supposed to be, and just does the basic job of setting up the finale. So it was okay. It was an okay episode.
Yeah.
I've seen worse.
Definitely seen worse. Yeah, it was okay. It was definitely okay. I love the Charlie leaving the ring and it just never getting to Aaron, which is so funny.
Yeah, and it's like Sun, I think Sun finds it in there, but of course she doesn't even know what it is. So she just leaves it there. She just puts it back.
Mm-hmm.
I think she finds it there in season 5 or something, you know.
She's always finding rings.
There, you're right. Oh, the ring. But they had the opportunity, you know, Claire's on the island until the end of the show, basically.
Yeah.
If they wanted to have a character convey that to her and have it get back to Aaron, they could have done it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they didn't.
I mean, Sun, it's on the line, but I think Sun should have recognized that as Charlie's ring. Like,
yeah.
Did she never look at his hands all that time? Like,
yeah, maybe she did. I guess you don't really know if she recognized it, but she didn't really do anything with it.
Yeah.
And I gave me the impression that she didn't really know what it was.
And that's one of those things that it seems like, why wouldn't they tie that up and have that extra special moment of, like, after all this time, it finally gets back to Aaron and Claire, and it's meaningful, and, you know, like, it's strange to set up how meaningful it is with his backstory, and it's passing it down all the men in his family, and then he leaves it to Aaron right before he goes to die. In the same episode, they're like, oh, not going to get to Aaron. But then later they pick it back up and still don't tie it together.
Yeah.
It's a strange thing to like, what does that mean? Like, it's such a weird thing not to pay off.
It's weird that they don't pay it off, but they do reference it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. That seems like it should mean something, right? Like, to point out something and then go, look, we're not doing this thing.
Yeah. Cause it's not like those storylines I was talking about where, you know, they just drop it and no one speaks of it again. Like, they bring it up again, so clearly it matters to them to some extent, but they don't resolve it. So I think an easy pickup for them is also the greatest hits list.
You know?
Like, I feel like Desmond should have delivered it to Claire. I mean, they can come up with any number of reasons why he wasn't able to do it, which is fine, but I don't know. I feel like that's an easy sentimental moment for them that I'm surprised they just didn't bother.
I think the ring or the letter, one of those two things should have gotten to Claire.
Yeah.
It's weird that neither did.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's trying to leave her stuff, and it's
like, is that a commentary on sentimentality or something? Is it like, there's no use in being sentimental. It's all for naught.
It will only be forgotten or lost or unrecognized.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely a strange... especially because, it's such a big focal point in the episode. And the fact that they even take the time in the episode to point out to us that, Aaron did not get the ring.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Why would you do that?
Yeah, it's exactly. Weird.
It's really weird. It almost makes me think maybe Charlie should come back or something. Like, he can't die because Aaron's not going to get the ring otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really weird.
It makes that whole thing seem unresolved.
It's even weird Charlie didn't tell Claire he's giving it to Aaron. Like, that would have been special to her. Like,
yeah, he didn't even say anything. He just, like, dropped it in there on the side.
What did he think was going to happen? That the baby was going to pick it up and put it on its finger?
Yeah, like, I know. I don't even know. It's really strange that he didn't say anything.
And he knew they were leaving. So.
But I guess, like, he didn't want to tell Claire about it because... He thought it would.
That's right. He did. He wasn't. Yeah, he wasn't. He didn't want her to know he was saying goodbye.
Exactly.
I see. So he wanted to go off and be heroic and die, and then she'll find the ring and then realize that he left it. And yep. Okay, that makes sense.
I think that's the idea, but of course that scene never happened.
Yeah.
Because I don't think she ever realizes that he left a ring.
Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, maybe. Maybe they just don't want Claire to realize that Charlie, is going to be, like, in danger and, like, could, you know, die on this thing. And that's why they have the ring get left behind.
Say that again?
Like, they don't want Claire to find the ring and realize that Charlie was...
But if she found it, wouldn't she just say, oh, oops, Charlie forgot his ring?
Yeah, she could say that. That's true.
Charlie?
That actually sounds like something she would say.
Yeah, I don't think she would see the ring and go, oh, he left this as a memento because he's going off to die.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, seriously.
You know.
Yeah.
But, all right. Well, I'm looking forward to the next episode. We'll finally wrap up season 3.
Hell yeah.
It's been a long adventure, but we're going to get through half of the show here. And I think we have less episodes ahead of us than we've done. So
yeah, because seasons are shorter.
Yeah, so we're more than halfway through, which is nice.
Yeah.
Woo! So we got to get through 3 more seasons, hopefully in the next year.
Yeah, no problem.
And then we would have, that would have been, 10 years for the LLD.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep, 10 years in May.
Yeah.
It's coming.
I don't think we're going to hit our May deadline, but.
Well.
For 3 seasons, but
it'll be pretty tight. Yeah.
Hopefully by the summer. By the summer.
Yeah.
Summer 2016, the LLD train, the comic
that sounds pretty likely.
Will come to a conclusion.
Yeah.
So and then we get to do a whole series where we look back at all of our past podcasts.
And look ahead to our future podcasts.
And then look ahead to some more. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, exciting. I can't wait to get back to season 4 and see what was going on.
Yeah, in my memory, I really like season 4. So it'll be cool to see it again.
I'm looking at the episode list of season 4, and, you know, the finale in season 4 is There's No Place Like Home, parts 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what Dorothy has to say to get back to Kansas?
Yeah.
But did she have to say it 3 times?
Yeah.
Or does she just say it 3 times?
Oh, yeah, I think maybe she had to click her heels and then say There's No Place Like Home, but I think she only had to say it once, but she said it over and over again.
Okay.
I think.
It just seems like there's something there with them having There's No Place Like Home 3 times. As some sort of,
That's funny.
Yeah, no, yeah, I think... Oh, she has to click her heels 3 times, repeating. There's
click
no
her heels 3 times.
Home.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's... I don't know. I feel like that's some sort of joke.
Yeah. I can see that.
Some sort of really weird, not that funny joke.
Yeah. I mean, between Wizard of Oz and Through the Looking Glass...
Yeah.
They like making these... references to stories with, like, you know, taking a journey to a crazy land.
Mm-hmm.
That's clearly the theme.
Yeah.
They're going for there.
All right. Anything else?
No, I think that's good for now. I'm looking forward to the end of season three also. I really think once we move into season four, it's going to be like, you know, full steam ahead pretty much for the rest of the show. Cause they don't, I think season mm-hmm. three is the last one where they waste our time a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, they really stopped doing that. And obviously that's part of why, you know, they wanted to have the end date and so on. So
mm-hmm.
It's definitely a huge shift, I think. And so like, it's sort of like part one of the show ends here. So it's,
yeah, for sure.
It makes sense that
the
it's
the old version of the show. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Beach camp, a lot of those things that have become lost staples, like are never really the same again after this season.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, until next time, thanks and namaste.
Namaste and good luck.